much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Oh. Hey, knucklehead, get out of that bed. We've got a program to do.
Will you quit yapping? 6 o'clock in the morning. Who's up to listen to us?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Hello?
Hey, I've got 2 words for you, bro. Vegas, baby! Las Vegas. Strippers, shots, Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Sorry, Adam, no can do tonight.
Alrighty then, Reno, baby! Cheaper strippers, cheaper shots, 2 Bubba Gumps.
Not gonna happen, Kimasabi.
Okay, well, Bakersfield, baby, is Santa Fe, Cincinnati. What's going on, bro?
I blame it all on rap music, drugs, and tattoos.
So I say, let's get on with the show. Who's with me? I can't hear you! That's more like it! Whoop, whoop.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is all well and good, but what does Yoko think?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's all fake news. It's all fake news.
Roll another one.
69.
Just like the other one.
If I tell you, you'll be doing it.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't want that.
And I need another again.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Fresno, what you sipping?
Roll another one.
That's Tori Spelling's mom.
Right?
Just like the other one.
She's a mess. A total mess.
This one seems to be about to end.
You also feel like a bunch of dumbasses.
I don't have another cent.
You love Bean's nipple?
Not my favorite, but I'll allow it.
You see that? You see how white people do?
Right?
Just pass it around.
For now, it seems that's the consensus.
And now.
Hey, Kevin. I have a full lady boner.
Our feature presentation.
Can no one do that sound? Like that. That's how you do it.
That wasn't bad. Hers was weird.
Yeah, it was
like
weird.
A feral cat.
Yeah,
not that bad, though.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, the 24th of February. Remember last weekend when it was President's Day and a lot of people, including us, got the Monday off?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was a 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
So you worked 4 days in the week instead of 5 days in the week because you had the Monday off.
Yeah, I think we get what a 3-day weekend is.
Right. That's a good thing. There should be more of those.
Okay.
I've just put it out there. I don't know if anyone's thought of that or not, but they're so good. I feel like we should make more of those.
Okay. So you're saying you like having a 4-day work week.
And a 3-day weekend. Yeah.
Right.
I think it's real good.
I've been doing that for 3 years.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
That's true. Kevin's way ahead of me on this one. Hey, speaking of time off, I know we have a very, very busy show today with some very funny people on it today. But I thought this was an interesting story, and perhaps you saw this. You know, in Scandinavia, they're very generous to their citizens with lots of vacation all over Europe. I think the average person gets about 6 weeks of vacation here. Mm. In Sweden, you get I think it's 15 months of parental leave when you have a baby, for instance.
15 wow. months.
15 months.
Wow.
Universal health care. I mean, it's a very generous country. Well. They have made news this week. A local official in northern Sweden, in a town that I have been to, by the way, called Övertorneå, which is in no way the way it is pronounced, has introduced a bill to give municipal employees, the people that work for the city there, an hour off each week to go home and have sex.
Yeah!
Is that right?
What?
He is a 42-year-old councilman named Per Eric Muskos from the northern town of Overtornia. He would like to add those benefits by offering the municipality's 550 employees the right to subsidized sex. He introduced the proposal this week. He told fellow members of the town council that it would give a nudge to a dwindling local population. So part of the reason is to try to get some more kids born in the town. Sure. He says it would add spice to aging marriages and it would improve employee morale.
So you get an hour a week?
Yes.
What if you live like 28 minutes away?
Listen, gotta time it better, Kevin.
You just speed it right up.
So the man from the government is giving you an hour a week to have sex, and you're already bitching about it, Kevin. You're already complaining.
I'm just saying. I have to do. You are very uptight.
I'm just saying.
I think this is it. If there's only 550 municipal employees, I bet it's not a huge city.
Right. Okay.
I bet most people live within easy, probably 15-minute driving distance.
All
I
right.
Say. He noted in the proposal that sex is a great form of exercise. It has been documented to have positive effects on well-being. And they are going to vote on it on the 31-member council to see if it is approved. We should encourage procreation. I believe that sex is often in short supply. Everyday life is stressful. Sometimes the children are at home. This could be an opportunity for couples to have their own time only for each other. What do you guys think?
How about that? I mean, I don't see the downside unless they have some kind of problem with
unless, what if you don't like having sex with your husband? Then he comes home at like 11. He's like, listen, it's the law. Let's do it.
That's a great point.
Right?
Good
then
point.
It just becomes, oh, I have to for the country.
There are
my
some
patriotic
people,
duty.
There right? are some people, by the way, who have taken some shots at it. For instance, they wonder about enforcement. For instance, what if somebody decides to not have sex and instead, you know, go run errands during that hour off?
Uh-oh.
Sure.
What do you do with that guy?
Yeah.
Right. What about people who don't have a partner? Now, are you discriminating against them? Are you making them feel bad? Intimidating them because you're
shut
saying,
up.
Come
I mean,
on.
Basically, they just give you an hour off.
Yeah.
And they're saying that it's to have sex. If you don't, I imagine there's not going to be any police out there writing tickets. Hey, aren't you supposed to be at home right now having sex?
A left-leaning municipal council person, Thomas Vettestig, said that the proposal was intrusive and threatened to embarrass people who do not have sexual partners, do not want to have sex, or have medical conditions that preclude sex.
Thomas can't get it up.
Right?
It sounds like he's having trouble. I don't think it's the employer's business to say go home for an hour and make babies. Some proponents also worry that the proposal was too stingy. I spoke to a couple of older gentlemen who said 1 hour. That is not enough time. Because you got to build in how long it is you're waiting for the Viagra to kick in, I guess.
Sure.
Maybe. And there's also a concern, by the way, that some employees will be spending all of their time during the week on Tinder trying to line somebody up for that 1 hour of sex. So now you're reducing productivity.
But they're doing their patriotic duty.
Yeah.
Apparently so. Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, I'll keep my eyes peeled and see if that comes through. But that was you don't see a suggestion like that very often from the government. That's
no,
sure.
You don't. And they're going to have to create the boner police as well. And it's a weird force, and it doesn't seem like it's something that I would want to be on. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This is going to suck, man.
I don't think so. Rarely. I mean, most of the time I agree with that, but it seems like a pretty good show today.
I agree, right? Yeah.
Movie beat, because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have a brand new internet roundup, which
mm-hmm.
is great.
Mm-hmm.
Allie thinks La La Land is overrated.
Listen.
So we'll talk
fine.
About that.
It's fine.
Steve.
Totally overrated.
Steve Hofstetter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was this the guy in the story that we did yesterday morning?
Yes, the airplane poop story.
Yes. I mean, it was a dog.
There was more.
There's more to it.
There was more.
We're actually going to talk to him today, though. Very excited about that.
We're going to hear it right from his lips.
Yep.
Fantastic.
I hope so.
Doug Benson, comedian, in studio with us.
I love Doug so much.
Talking about his show, The High Court.
He's so high on that show.
He really is always high. Comedian Pete Holmes will join us in studio.
Love Pete.
Talking about HBO's Crashing. And Jimmy Kimmel will join us talking about hosting the Oscars. It's a pretty good show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
The beautiful new HD Radio Sound Space is going to be busy on Monday afternoon at 5. The band AFI is going to be here performing live, and we want you to be there. We got more tickets you can win coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. And when you do, you're qualified to go see them in Glasgow, Scotland, too. Details at KROQ.com. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning, boys and girls, children of all ages.
please direct your attention to the center ring. Now entering, Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, excellent.
And the He Will Not Divide Us exhibit has been shut down yet again. I don't know if you've been following. Long journey of this, but you know, it was going to be set up forever, or at least for the next 4 years,
right?
Which would feel like forever,
sure.
At the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens, but they had to shut it down because it was creating, in their words, an ongoing public safety hazard because a lot of people were fighting and punching and cursing. And
now, this was just a live camera on a wall, and
He Will Not Divide Us,
and people step in front of the camera, and that's all they say.
That's right, He Will Not Divide Us,
okay.
It turns out the people were divided, and they were fighting in Queens. So they shut it down.
Okay.
And he moved it to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
All right.
That's a choice.
Just outside the El Rey Theater, where the exhibit was immediately vandalized with red spray paint, was cleaned up, continued to operate, but now has been shut down. After reports of gunfire.
Oh.
So it turns out he will absolutely divide us. 100%. Division.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why we can't have Shia yelling into a camera anymore. So it's been decided to take down. No word on whether it will move to another location or not. But I would say, hey, just let it go. It's my advice, in case you're listening, Shia LaBeouf. Scarlett Johansson will be hosting Saturday Night Live for a fifth time on Saturday, March 11th. It's just been announced. Not surprisingly, her new film, Ghost in the Shell, is premiering 2 weeks later. Have you seen the trailers for that, by the way?
I have.
Nuts. Looks nuts, looks great. That movie. She's like a sexy robot with a person inside it. She's got skin.
No wonder Bean's seen it.
She's got robot skin. Yeah, Bean's seen it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Her musical guest on that show will be Lord, by the way.
Oh.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's great news because that Lord means she's got to be... Got to be close to some new music, which we've been waiting for a long time from her.
Yeah. A lot of TV news. This sounds very promising. Our friend Sarah Shahi's got a new TV series.
All right.
She'll be teaming up with Dennis Haysbert, who you probably remember from 24.
Mm-hmm. Who's the president?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was. Kevin.
I used to watch that show religiously.
What's going on?
Love that show. You're
taking that limitless pill, haven't you?
Super unrealistic to have a black man be president, too, by the way. Really took me out of that show.
See what he did there?
See? Because
it never happened.
Because the thing about that is...
For 8 years.
Right?
There was a black president.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well crafted.
Standing O.
Applauding for yourself.
Y'all are killing it right now.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. The show will be called Reverie. Reverie. And it will be a virtual reality thriller. Where Dennis Haysbert will play a former detective specializing in human behavior who is brought in when the launch of an advanced virtual reality program has dangerous and unintended consequences. One of the virtual reality users gets trapped inside the virtual reality and is comatose, and then Sarah Shahi must play a hostage negotiator who enters into the virtual reality in order to negotiate his consciousness back to real life.
This sounds a lot like the movie The Cell, if you saw that a number of years ago, with Jennifer Lopez.
No.
It didn't either. Which was a terrific movie, by the way.
To me, it sounds like The Framework. You watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, I'm a couple behind.
Framework! Right. Framework!
All right.
Just remember I said Framework.
All right, I'll remember that.
You'll enjoy yourself. So. All right, I'm all for seeing Sarah Shahi on my television at any time.
Same.
In any capacity.
Sure.
So, let's say we're going to go with that. Speaking of television, tonight's the night.
Tonight's the night.
Yeah.
What's going on tonight?
Tonight. Mama June.
Oh. Yeah.
Mama June. We'll go from not to hot. Not to hot.
Right.
You hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
Not to hot. And they say.
I'm going from not. Too hot.
I mean, she says it.
They say they're going to reveal how much weight she's dropped this weekend.
When she stepped on the scale in the preview, it was 352 pounds.
She lost 352 pounds?
No, that's what it was like at the beginning of it before she started the whole process.
Oh. Well, she was a size 16, they say, when she started. But now a size 4.
Debatable.
How do you know you haven't
even... You can't call it yet. You haven't even seen anything.
Calling it.
You can't do that.
Doing it.
You cannot.
Did it.
There are things to be yet to be seen.
That's great. Good for her.
Gastric sleeve, excess skin removal operations, and a couple breast surgeries.
Maybe get these people psychological help before we start with the outward appearance.
Yeah, did they do anything for her personality?
Regarding her her breast surgeries, Pumpkin, her daughter Pumpkin, said her boobies got done.
Oh.
She got them from a 44 long to a 36 up.
Nope.
I'm not sure that's how it works.
Nope.
Yeah. Maybe 44 long was just descriptive.
That's what she's saying.
Not an actual thing.
Yeah, that's what she's saying, Kevin. Yeah, that's what she's saying.
I hope that...
Maybe she's saying that's describing them that way.
I hope that if Mama June is more attractive now, she can upgrade from the pedophile that she was dating.
Oh, come on!
I mean, he was in jail for 10 years. He served his time for molesting her daughter.
Where are you when it comes to second chances, Beam?
It was her daughter.
It was her daughter.
I mean, that's...
And then she started dating him again when he got out of jail.
Sure.
F this family.
Insane. Look.
F this family so hard.
You don't know. Love has no walls.
Okay.
I've heard you say that 1,000 times.
It's on a shirt.
Yep. Today's celebrity birthdays, Edward James Olmos. He's 70 years old today. Commander Adama.
Sure.
Admiral Adama. Whatever. Love that show. Miss it.
Battlestar Galactica, right?
Yep.
Yep. Kristen Davis is 52. Billy Zane is 51. He's the gold colonel, by the way, Billy Zane. He's the solid gold colonel.
What?
From the
Sanders. Commercials. Yes. Colonel Sanders. Okay.
Matt Skiba. From Blink 182.
Allie, you guys got plans this weekend?
I mean, if he calls, I'll totally go, but he won't.
He's 41 years
know
old
me
today.
At all.
Floyd Mayweather Jr. is 40. Earl Sweatshirt is 23 years old today.
Who?
Earl you Sweatshirt. Heard
me. Earl Sweatshirt. Kevin.
Tyler, the creator, got. He's with him. He's in the.
He's never in the sweatshirt.
Mind. The rapper.
It's Earl Sweatshirt.
Earl Sweatshirt.
Come on,
he's gone
Kevin.
For a while, came back.
I don't know Earl
so happy
Sweatshirt.
To have him.
Okay.
Earl Sweatshirt.
I don't know him. What do you want?
What
from?
If I keep saying Earl Sweatshirt over and over
help.
Again? Will that change?
I mean,
thing?
I don't think so.
And actor O'Shea Jackson Jr. is 26 years old today. Or as LL Cool J once called him, O.J. Jackson Jr.
Yeah, that may have been a mistake on his part. Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Honestly, for 1 second, I thought he was still singing.
Boom!
And I should shut up.
Light!
We don't usually do funny on this show. The Kevin and Bean show is mostly allergic to comedy. But I got to tell you today, man, Doug Benson coming in next hour. Jimmy Kimmel at 8 o'clock.
Keith
Holmes on the show today. Right. We've always had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
That's why there's no more American comedy jobs, okay? Because people like you keep going outside to get the comedy.
You could be right, Mr. President, but it's going to be a pretty good show coming up on K-Rock. And it is Friday morning. That means Ralph is here, and it's time for the Movie Beat. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting batch this weekend.
You are all going to die tonight.
There's that one. Not good news for black people. I'll tell you that much. That movie is not good news for black people. However, we have some other interesting films this weekend. Let's kick things off. What's up for the kids? A little animation, shall we? How about Rock Dog?
Rock Dog?
Rock Dog!
I've not heard of this at all.
You know Rock Dog.
I don't know Rock Dog.
Rock Dog.
I feel like that used to be my air name when I was working classic rock back in the 80s, but... Imagine Bean calling himself Rock Dog.
You're listening to the Rock Dog. Woof, woof.
I like it.
Ow.
I would be perfect as the Rock Dog.
You would be. When I think you, I think the Rock Dog. Right? No, this is a story of a Tibetan Mastiff.
Another one?
Yes. whose
Does
job
he get ground at all?
His job is just no. It's an animated film.
Oh, all right.
And his job is to protect the sheep, right? Because that's what Tibetan mastiffs do.
Sure.
But he has another dream. He wants to be a guitarist. Wants to be a rock and roll star.
Hey, stay in your lane, rock dog.
And that's when he comes across a hilarious rock and roll star cat. Who inspires him
to do the...
No, you're missing... No.
There's no cat that's inspiring anyone to do anything.
This is all good stuff.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Yes, everyone is. How about Eddie Izzard as one of the voices in this film?
Oh, okay. All right.
Playing the rock star cat. J.K. Simmons.
Okay.
Lewis Black.
All right.
Luke Wilson.
All right.
So why don't you just pipe down and enjoy the magic that is... Rock dog!
Dad, I've decided to become a musician.
You're not going
to
be a musician, Bodie. You're going to be a guard. Get used to it.
This is fate. Mr. Scattergood came to Rock and Roll Park, found a band in need of a guitar player.
I think you ought to go up and meet him.
Mr. Scattergood said to never stop. Nothing will ever make me...
Oh. Rock dog!
Okay.
Wish we had some Eddie Izzard in there, because even as an animated character, he makes me wet my pants. And so, if you want to be a rock star, never stop. Even when your father says, stop. Don't Punching Henry, also out this weekend in limited release. Starring Henry Phillips.
Love him.
Very funny man. Tig Notaro's also in this film. J.K. Simmons is in this film, too. I'm glad J.K.'s finally getting some work.
Finally, right?
Yeah. Mark Cohen, very funny, satirical look at comedy and television. Henry plays a thinly veiled version of himself, and he is lured to Los Angeles by a TV producer who decides to make a show about the life of a loser. A documentary series about a loser, and they pick Henry to be the loser.
That's nice.
A loser that is such a loser, it'll make losers feel better about their lives. That's their plan. And as you can imagine, hilarity ensues. Here are some scenes from Punching Henry.
He has no friends, no money, no love life, not even the respect of his peers.
It's like a loser's loser.
Or a loser who could make a loser feel like a hero.
Guys, I'm right here.
Right?
Guys, I'm right here. We're going to take the day's hottest viral videos. Who better to introduce them than Mr. Epic Fail himself?
We're wondering if you would father our child.
Would I be involved in the child's life?
Oh, God, no. We wouldn't let you near the child.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a loser.
Right. I think we got that.
I don't think you understand. The premise is he's a loser.
Right.
And then there's funny built around that concept.
Right.
Collide! Action, thrill ride, high-speed autobahn driving is all featured in Collide. Nicholas Holt stars along with Felicity Jones. Oh, I love Felicity Jones. Anthony Hopkins, Ben Kingsley.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Great casting, and everyone seems very wasted in this film.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The basic premise is there is an American backpacker who falls in love with a British girl who needs a kidney transplant. And so in order to raise the money, he's got to go back to his high, fast-paced life of crime as a hijacker. And so Ben Kingsley hires him to hijack some drugs owned by Anthony Hopkins, who catches him, but then he escapes. And then, you think collide.
Why are these people doing this project?
Money, 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 money! That's the only possible explanation. It looks like a perfectly serviceable sort of action thriller.
All right, I'm in.
But, yeah, it's for you, Kevin. It's for you with good actors, for a change, instead of the usual films you watch.
True.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Collide.
I'm sorry, but a kidney transplant is the only solution.
You're all I've got.
It's nearly 200,000.
I'd go back to what I was doing.
Truck carrying golf balls. Packed with drugs. You steal a truck. Then you make your money. I misjudged you, my friend.
Casey! Leave her out of this.
When people tried to steal from me, many innocent characters died violent and meaningless deaths.
Poor Juliet.
Okay.
All right.
See?
Muggs, you listening? Start hijacking things.
To make some extra money?
Yeah.
To pay off his gambling debts. And lastly, Get Out. We talked to writer-director Jordan Peele earlier in the week. This looks like a terrifying horror film with a deep psychological bent about an African-American man who's visiting his white girlfriend's mysterious family estate. Here's the thing. When he travels upstate to visit his white girlfriend's family, things are not don't go well for black people in that neighborhood. Mysterious disappearances, strange hypnosis sessions, strange surgeries going on. It's awful. It's just everything's awful in this film, and yet you can't take your eyes away from Get Out.
So look, I go do my research. Apparently, a whole bunch of brothers been missing in this suburb.
But it's cool,
bro. How you not scared of this, man?
Couldn't see another brother around here.
Chris was just telling me how he felt much more comfortable with my being here.
Get out.
Sorry, man.
Get out!
Yo! Rose, we gotta go.
Is everything okay?
Rose, the keys. If there's too many white people, I get nervous. Ah!
Get out.
Looks so great. Chip saw it, said it was awesome.
What does Chip know?
She knows.
Look at her all wearing a Ducks jersey.
I know. That's a misstep.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Our current and hopefully temporary producer, Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico, is in studio with us right now. Hey, Dave, how are you?
What? Hey, happy Friday, guys.
And to you as well, my friend. Dave does an outstanding job every week putting together the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. And we got a great batch of videos, so let's play that theme and let's talk about them.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah!
Oh, watch me, baby!
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup. Oh, watch me, baby!
Internet Roundup.
Check it out, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Thug life.
I don't know about thug life, but there is a video from a surveillance camera, it looks like, or a security camera on a street in Brazil where a guy and his lady are walking down the sidewalk. And out of the frame comes an automobile tire. And it comes at an alarming rate up behind this poor pedestrian and hits him in the head, and he drops like a sack of flour.
I hated that video because I assumed dead. I mean, when you watch it, there's no other possible answer than dead.
He doesn't jump right back up. But Dave, you're telling us that he was okay?
Yeah. You know, the reports from the guy who posted the original video said that he was in the hospital and he had a cut to the back of his head. And that was it.
He's going to be okay.
He's going to survive. But I think hit is an understatement.
Yeah.
He
was demolished.
And it's just, it's what I obsess over is just the randomness of life. I mean, if this guy had been 1 foot ahead or 1 foot behind where he was walking, it would not have gone like that.
Yeah, true.
And it's just, it's an astonishing piece of video. You definitely want to check that out.
But he did save some damage from the shop that was there. So good on him, man.
That was nice of him. Yeah.
Also, there's a great video that I love. It doesn't have audio we can play, which is the top 20 bug porn sex acts. If you're trying to spice it up this weekend in the bedroom, you might try the crisscross or the backdoor planking. There's some pretty good ones that are described and shown for you by the bugs in this video. Let's talk about some of the ones we can play for you here. Eddie and the Beast is one that, Allie, you found this one for us.
I did.
Explain how they made this thing.
It's essentially the Beauty and the Beast trailer, which is wonderful on its own. But what if you add Eddie Murphy and pretty much all of his roles into it, interacting with Belle from Beauty and the Beast? It is phenomenal.
You get a taste of what it sounds like right here.
Good morning, my neighbors!
Hey, you! My dear Belle, you're so ahead of your time.
Hey, well, hey, where are you going? What's your problem?
You are the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen.
I bet you have on a thong made of licorice, don't you?
Hey, baby, what's happening? How you doing?
He's a thief.
Come into the light.
Is this a black thing?
Who said that?
Hello.
You can talk.
Hello, horse. What did you do to it?
Nothing.
Get out of here.
Are you going to kick my ass now? I need a couple of bananas. How much are they?
They just missed Boogie in the Butt, though.
Oh, that's sweet. I saw that. And it occurred to me how much I miss Eddie Murphy at the movies.
Yeah.
He just doesn't work enough, right?
He's a talent.
Speaking of films, it is Oscar weekend. We'll be talking to the host of the Academy Awards Sunday night. Jimmy Kimmel joins us just after 8 o'clock this morning. And our friends at Honest Trailers did a great job of basically putting together a reel of all of the Best Picture nominees. And I think in this clip that we're going to hear, they're going to be talking about the movie Lion, and then Moonlight, and then Hacksaw Ridge. And they pretty much nailed it as usual.
From first-time director Garth Davis comes the film about the kid who goes to India with Nicole Kidman, I think, and finds a lion or something. Oh, right. It's the one with Dev Patel.
I hear it's really good, but honestly, I've only seen the trailer. They've got to stop releasing all the Oscar movies at the same time.
If you say you've seen this, you're probably lying. Follow along on the poetic unfolding of a life beautifully directed by Barry Jenkins as this young, black, gay man struggles to escape from poverty and drug addiction, told across three decades, based on a play, based on the life story of its author. So yeah, I'd say it's nominated for an Oscar. All of the Oscar things. Enjoy the brief window of time before Mel Gibson burns his bridge to Hollywood again as he follows up the Jesus movie he filled with blood and gore with another story about a historical pacifist filled with tons of blood and gore.
Was that necessary? Oh, I think I'm going to puke.
War and Pieces.
I didn't see Hacksaw Ridge, but that scene that they show in that trailer is the most violent thing I've ever seen on film. Did you see that, Kevin?
I did not. It's one that I really wanted to see. But
a guy gets shot in the face, and the guy behind him also gets shot in the face, and then shot in the face some more, and then more shots in the face.
Yes, it's rough.
At any point, does a tire hit him?
And I think my favorite video, because you know how much I love conspiracy theorist, radio talk show host Alex Jones. I love him so much. And somebody has put together a video of all of the crazy noises that he makes. The video is entitled, Alex Jones is Definitely a Human and Not a Reptilian. But it does look like he's somehow trying to come out of his skin and go back to his lizard form. Check it out.
This is a human. This is what we look like. This is what we act like. I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
Now look, we've been in broadcasting a long time. Do we make any of those noises?
We're doing it wrong.
What is Alex doing? Yeah,
I bet you do.
I will.
We'll see in about 20 minutes.
No, you'll see it about 30 seconds because there's already a remix, you guys, of Alex Jones.
I swear to God.
What are you saying,
Don't
Allie?
Why do you dare.
Why do you automatically think it involves you? But it turns out that Allie and Alex have a little bit of a history.
Oh, yeah. Smell it. Yeah.
So good.
Look at that.
What?
You can see all these videos and so much more, and you should, at krock.com or at kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all. Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
From 6.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Help us.
What?
Help. Send help.
We're fine, Ralph.
What do we need help for?
There's a crazy lady in the studio.
Yeah. But she's our crazy lady, you guys.
I'm afraid. Get out.
Hey, yesterday morning on the program, we brought you the story about a revenge that was played on a terrible passenger at LAX. A woman who let her dog poop right there in the airport and didn't clean it up, figuring they have people for that.
Blech.
And this fellow traveler exacted a brilliant revenge on her. We're going to talk to that fellow traveler and hear the story in his own words coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning. What's going on?
Sounds like you're talking about a communist when you call him a fellow traveler.
Well, he was just somebody at LAX also on, sir, getting on a plane that day.
Are you a fellow traveler? Yes. I see you at the meetings. Hoda Kobe. Hoda Kotbi. Hoda Kotabadu.
From
Yoda KB.
From the Today Show.
Yeah. Whatever that name is. That's barely even a name. It's just alphabet soup.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of consonants slapped together. Just get a name. Coda Hobie. She's a new mom. The 52-year-old just adopted a newborn daughter. And she gave her the name Haley Joy. Haley Joy because she said she's just like Haley's Comet. And she pictures her sailing through the sky, which is adorable and hilarious because it's pronounced Halley's Comet. So, what is it then? What's that all about? Right?
Yes.
I don't know, man. Kate Upton could have almost any man that she wants at any time, but apparently not her fiancé.
Oh.
Justin Verlander. First of all, he's awful because he's a baseball player.
He's right.
That's a
great
given.
Baseball player.
Right, but
one of the best pitchers in the game.
But still in the category of baseball player.
Right, which automatically makes him awful. Right. Then add to it that he regularly refuses sex with Kate Upton. Turns her down on the reg.
What?
As the kids say. Yeah. Here's Kate herself on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen answering the question, does she get any nookie from her fiance before a game, and then what happens after games?
There's no sex before a game. Absolutely
no.
None.
No.
Yeah, and then also what I've just found out is if he plays too well, there's no sex after either.
Why is that? Because he's tired?
Yeah, he's exhausted.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Kind of a buzzkill for me.
So every time he goes out to pitch, is she hoping he gets just shellacked and pulled in the second inning?
Right.
She hopes that he would find another career because baseball is awful, is what she hopes.
I think baseball is...
That does make sense.
Yes.
I think it's providing pretty well for Justin Verlander.
I think she does okay on her own. I don't think she needs him to provide for her.
Agreed.
As she is on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit.
They're both very successful at their chosen professions.
What? Why would you assume that she needs a man to take care of her, to provide for her?
Well, you were just saying... the fact that
come
he
on,
makes,
Rock Dog!
The fact that he makes a lot of money doesn't mean that the sport he's in doesn't blow.
I think Justin Verlander is very happy to be a professional baseball player. It's probably been his dream since he was a little kid, and
he should
great
dream
at
better
it.
Then. He should dream better, because he's awful, and so is it. And sad news, but not unexpected. Spokespeople yesterday announced that Beyonce will not be performing at Coachella.
I couldn't imagine why they hadn't made this announcement already. I mean, it was obvious, wasn't it?
Yeah. She had to sit in a freaking chair at the Grammys, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
What's she going to do at Coachella? A bouncy house? What are you going to put her in that's safer, more comfortable?
She's not going to be less pregnant in 6 weeks, that's for sure.
Yeah. Following the advice of her doctors to keep a less rigorous schedule in the upcoming months, Beyonce has made the decision to forego performing at the 2017 Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, was the official announcement. But, take heart, because she's already signed on to headline Coachella 2018.
All right.
So you will see her in the dust and dirt and mud.
As long as she can keep Jay-Z away from her so she didn't end up knocked up again before next year's festival. I mean, that's true, right? She's saying she's going to be available for next year unless the same thing happens again.
Right. The replacement man, by the way, is less than Jake. A lot of people haven't
heard
that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, awesome. Love those guys.
Exciting.
Ralph, who would you like to see as the replacement for the top of the ticket on that Saturday night at Coachella?
Less than Jake. I'm happy with what they decided. Who am I to second guess them? They sound like they know what they're doing.
We're trying to get put it out there in the ether that the Foo Fighters need to do it.
Oh, that would be so great.
Or Depeche Mode.
Foo Fighters or Depeche Mode would both
be
great.
Incredible.
That'd be good news for the people there.
I mean, Coachella doesn't seem to love rock and roll anymore, but maybe they'd make an exception and put the Foos on the bill.
Foo Fighters could kill it. That's all I'm saying.
They'd be perfect. They could headline any show anywhere in the world anytime.
What about Bruno Mars?
Bean hates Bruno Mars.
I don't care. I'm saying, how about as a headliner for Coachella?
I'd love it.
I think he could do it.
I'd love Depeche Mode more.
Sure. Same.
Mm. Ralph, you okay?
How about Rick Astley?
Oh.
I think he'd go over very well on the bill. I don't think he's a headliner.
Gary Numan?
Probably not. I've seen some wish lists that also include Rihanna and Justin Timberlake, too, as potential names.
I totally have the answer.
You okay. do?
This is the best possible headliner to replace Beyonce at Coachella.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Pico Taro!
I like orange juice.
Yeah, you do.
Thank you. Grape juice? No. Tomato juice? No. Carrot juice? No.
What orange juice?
Orange juice.
Yes.
Orange juice. Orange juice. Orange juice.
Coachella would go crazy.
Right?
Right.
Oh! Make it so.
This was a success.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Doug Benson joins us in studio in about 50 minutes or so. There's a lot going on with Doug, by the way. He's got a new Comedy Central show. And he also, as you know, has a very popular podcast called Doug Loves Movies. And he threw off a couple of stars off of his show this week.
Oh, my.
And it got ugly, guys. I thought it was going to be fisticuffs, to use Kevin's word. I thought fisticuffs were happening.
Doug Benson is the most chill person on the planet.
Yeah,
what does it take for him to throw someone off?
You would think so, wouldn't
I mean,
you?
Come on.
So we'll hear about all of that coming up in minutes with Doug right here on K-Rock. First, though, very excited to welcome a friend of Ali's to the program. When we started the show yesterday, I told you about a guy who had a post on Facebook that had gone viral. His name is Steve Hofstetler, and he was at LAX, and something crazy happened, and he took out tremendous revenge on a fellow traveler there. Steve turns out to be a very popular comedian, by the way, and he is going to be in town at the Laugh Factory coming up on March the 1st at 8 o'clock if you want to buy some tickets to see Steve on stage, laughfactory.com. But right now he joins us from Japan. Hey, Steve.
How are you guys?
Very good.
Are you popular in Japan? It looks like you're doing a bunch of shows over there.
Well, I wasn't until that story spread, and apparently everybody was very excited about it here because it was about going to Tokyo, and I prevented that woman from going to Tokyo.
It's a pretty sweet story.
I'm a national hero in Japan now.
Of course, it is.
And you are a champion of air travelers everywhere, Steve. So for the benefit of those who didn't hear us describe your story yesterday, we're excited to be able to hear it in your own words. So you're at the airport Tuesday, and you're leaving LAX to fly to where you are now in Japan. And what did you see?
So I saw there was a woman who was on a loud FaceTime call, and her back was to her dog, and her little frou-frou dog is just, you know, pooping on the floor of the airport, as, you know, as idiots dogs do.
Right.
And so so this guy said to her, like, hey, you know, excuse me, you're kind of – and then she got mad for him interrupting her phone call.
So
like,
he
how
was,
dare you interrupt
he
my –
He was saying, maybe you didn't notice, but your dog pooped, maybe you should clean it up. Right?
Exactly. Okay. Like, we didn't assume, because who would assume someone would be a cartoonishly evil villain to, like, do that on purpose?
Right.
So she gets mad at him, and then she starts walking away. And so we're like, hey, you know, you should really clean that up. And she goes, oh, they have people for that.
Ugh.
Which the best thing I've
dear
heard about
Lord.
Anyone who says, oh, they have people for that,
yes.
should get punched in the face because there are dentists. So
she never cleans it up. In the end, she never cleans it up.
Yes, she just walks away from it, disappears from the crowd, and I have to stand guard around the poop because, like, people aren't expecting there to be poop on. Like, when you walk outside, you look down.
Right.
When you walk in the airport, you're not like, hey, maybe there's poop on the floor. I should be careful.
Right. Hey, by the way, Steve, as a question on the larger issue, was this a therapy dog that she was with, or was she somehow disabled? Why did she have a dog with her? Do you know?
I don't know for sure. And I don't know what words I can use to describe her on terrestrial radio.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But,
okay. Say no more.
So she's the worst type of pet owner.
Yeah, it was therapy for her being what she is.
Okay. Completely understood.
So,
yes. A bitch for a bitch. We got it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. I forgot. It's L.A. We have leeway. So,
So anyway, I'm guarding around, you know, and we let the people know in the airport, like, hey, there's stuff on the floor, you know, please come and clean it up. And so then I go to the gate, and I see that she's sitting at my gate, like she's going to Tokyo too. And so a lot of people are avoiding her because at this point, she's actually listening to music, like, full volume on her phone with no headphones.
All right. That's the part that surprises me, because people don't clean up after their dogs sort of a lot, but you almost never hear somebody listening to music on their phone at full volume without headphones.
Oh, I fly all the time. I always hear
And that,
that
happens are, a lot? Oh,
that's yeah. awful. There, that is
oh,
awful.
It's the worst. And so people were avoiding sitting near her, but I went over to her and I just said, excuse me, are you going to London on business? Now, remember, we're going to Tokyo.
Right. Okay. So, now, why did you say that?
Just to give her that little moment of panic.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to just mess with her a little bit, so that she'd have that, you know, run over to the gate, double check it, be like, are we really going to, you know, just have that, like, we've all had that happen when you think you're at the wrong gate.
Yeah, of course, sure.
Out, and we're like, is this even a plane at all? You know, like, doubting.
So you were trying to ruin her day a little bit because she had already ruined so many others.
Right, just mess with her a teeny bit. And then she says to me, no, I'm going to Tokyo. And then I took it a little bit further and I said, oh, no, that flight's been moved to gate 53C. This is the flight to London. Now, for those listening who fly a lot in LAX, you know there is no gate 53.
All right.
So it just gets better.
So that gate doesn't exist.
Right. That's not a gate. I figured she would get up. She'd, you know, try to look for it on the board. She'd come back. She'd see it still lists. Like, she would see that the monitor still says Tokyo, or notice that we're surrounded by Japanese people. Like, maybe that's a clue that this is still the flight to Tokyo. But she completely doesn't see any of that, and she just bolts and leaves the gate, like, just completely, because she heads to Terminal 5. By the way, we're at gate 69A at this point, so she's got a long walk.
Oh,
so, and especially, it's very long looking for gate 53C, because that gate doesn't exist.
She could still be walking.
That's fantastic, yeah, Steve. That is fantastic.
She's walking forever. And so then I got on the plane, and we were delayed 20 minutes. Now, I don't know if that's because they were waiting for her or because they were offloading her bag. I don't know what happened, but I didn't see her, and I didn't see her stupid little dog. And now I'm in Tokyo, and as far as I know, she's not.
She never got on the plane.
Ladies and gentlemen, is Steve Hofstetter a hero or not?
Did you get a standing O from the people on the plane?
I mean, no one knew what I did at the time.
I just
sat next to her. It's not like I stood up in the middle of the plane and be like, I have an announcement.
You're a secret hero.
You are. Now, Steve, as a person, you were deeply troubled and offended by everything you saw. As a comedian, did you love that this fell into your lap because this gave you one of the greatest days of all time?
This is any time, like, as a traveler, like, the reason I said what I said to her is because I try to keep myself entertained on the road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, when you travel so much, like, anytime something like this happens, like, I do stuff like this. I thrive on petty revenge.
Like, sweet. That's a great way to live, Steve. Were you surprised after your Facebook post how quickly it went viral?
Oh, it was absolutely insane. The thing that surprised me the most, though, are the internet detectives who were just like, this couldn't possibly happen. Like, people posted this whole conspiracy theory about how, like, you can't have dogs on long-haul flights. And, like, someone chimed in with a link to the Delta page that says you absolutely can. And then those same people, instead of being like, oh, I'm so sorry for calling you a liar, they just told me to go F myself. So,
well, I think for a lot of people, they just thought it's too good to be true. You know, I mean, I asked Allie when we came on the air yesterday. I'm like, all right, do you guys believe this story? And that's when Allie piped up that you guys know each other. And she's like, oh, yeah, that totally sounds like Steve.
Yeah, that's actually what I think what sold a lot of people on it. Because for anybody who knows, like, my comedy, I got popular for dealing with hecklers and for putting people in their place. And so what happened is people would, like, read the story and be like, this couldn't possibly be true. And they would be like, oh, it's Steve Hofstetter? Yeah, he absolutely
did. Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, we are happy to applaud you publicly and give you your due because you did the right thing, and that is awesome. And I hope that you're right and she really didn't make the plane because she deserves that. She's an awful lady, Steve.
I hope so, too. And I hope that the cleaning crew of LAX is listening to this and feels a little bit vindicated for what they had to go through.
Agreed. Have a fantastic time in Japan. We'll look forward to you coming back to America again. You can see Steve on stage at the Laugh Factory on March 1st, 8 p.m. Tickets available at laughfactory.com. Hey, thanks a lot for making some time, especially late at night there in Japan, to talk to us. We really enjoy it.
Hey, take care, guys.
Thank you, Steve.
Doug Benson.
Doug Benson, everybody.
Hey, that's me.
Doug.
By the way, I don't get a chance to say this very often as we introduce Doug, who is a very one of our all-time favorite people and guests, comedian, podcaster. He is the co-star of America's number one film, ladies and gentlemen. If you've seen the Lego Batman movie, he is Bane. So congratulations.
A lot of people Thank give you. Him the credit for the success
yes.
of that movie.
Yeah. People, when they buy their tickets, they say, is this the one with Doug Benson?
It's, we call it Doug like, Benson's
maybe he's
Lego
in
Batman movie.
50 Shades. I don't know.
So that's pretty cool, right, Doug?
It's insanely cool. It's just one of those things that I did on my comedy albums and on my podcast. I did my Bane impression so much that just when the folks making the movie were trying to decide who to get to be Bane, they're like, "Oh, it's got to be Doug Benson."
It's amazing. That's pretty
sweet.
I was
like, well, I doubt the executives at Warner Brothers feel that way. The thing is chock full of stars and Doug Benson as Bane. But I was thrilled to do it. I recorded my lines last September and then spent the rest of last year and the early part of this year wondering who my replacement was going to be. You know, so when they finally tell you.
Would you have to go to the movie?
You don't have to. You can't have conversations with them. They're busy finishing the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah.
So I'd ask mutual friends of the people making the movie, you know, do you think I'm still in it? And then a week before the movie came out, they did a dump of all the names of all the people who play all the characters.
And you were still there.
And my
surprise.
Name was there. And I got invited to the premiere. So I was like, This is
legit,
going good.
Man.
This
That's
is really,
cool.
really happening. Yeah.
I just imagine everyone in Hollywood expects to be replaced by Chris Hardwick at some point. You know what I mean? Because he just has all the jobs.
But, well, in fact, you know, I can't have one thing to myself. Chris Hardwick is in the Lego
of course
Batman
he's in the movie.
Movie.
Well, Doug, you're doing fine. You have so much going on. And, in fact, the reason Doug is here is because he has a new series on Comedy Central. And, Kevin, you're going to be very happy about this because they're 15-minute episodes.
Yeah, you know, I love that so much.
That's about your attention span.
Yep.
And it's going to debut Monday night at midnight, right, Doug?
Yeah, and 12:15 a.m. is your bedtime, right, Kevin?
That's right, of course.
Here's everything you need to know about Doug's new show called The High Court.
The cases are real. The judge is really high. This is The High Court with Doug Benson.
I'm your guest bailiff, Tiffany Haddish. And now, here's your judge, the Honorable Judge Doug. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Tiffany. Oh, hello.
Hello. Hello.
It's time to play Good Judge, High Judge. Which one will I be?
Which one are you, Doug?
Hopefully
always
both.
High. We shoot five. When we shot it, we do five in a day. So when you're watching them play back, you can they're not in order, so you can guess what time of day each episode was shot. Because the ones where I'm extra slow and sleepy was probably the fifth case of the
Later
day.
Later in the day, yeah.
Yeah. And for the first case of the day, I get high before that one, too, because, you know. That's
it's the high court.
They say it right there in the opening. I'm really high. So
you don't have
gotta,
an option.
Got to keep it legit.
Right. So, Doug, how do you find, and I wonder about this on a lot of these court shows, how do you find people who are willing to let you decide their legal issues?
Listen, if you had a choice between Judge Judy or a guy who is high, I would choose the guy who's high because he's less likely to yell at you.
That's true.
You know, and
that's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
See, I don't want her. She's harsh.
Yeah, I don't throw baloney around my courtroom.
It's so funny. This first episode, though, you have two ladies in who have a dispute over one owes the other money about borrowing a car and getting a ticket or something like that. And almost every other judge show, they would separate them or stop them or threaten them with contempt or do something. And you're just on the court just laughing and enjoying the hell out of how much they're fighting with each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of litigants that yell at each other, and the bailiffs and I, you know, it's a different guest bailiff on each episode. They're all comedians, so we get high in the deliberation room and then, you know, just giggle our way through the process. But also, I like to try to show that a high person still makes reasonable decisions, or at the very least, to lets people know which people are the villains and which people seem nice.
Are your verdicts legally binding?
Well, they're...
I certainly hope so.
It's taken care of. The show has a budget, as do all courtroom shows. This is a little insider piece of info. So when you see somebody lose their case on Judge Judy...
That's not true.
In that case, that person probably did get Zippo and Nada. But if someone's getting some sort of judgment, there's a pool that the show has, a budget to pay for that.
That's
another reason for them to go on the show is even if you lose your case, you don't lose any money. But the funny part about being the judge in these situations is people just want to be right. They don't care that it didn't cost them any money. They're sad that they lost the case.
Yeah, of course.
They're never like, well, no skin off my back. I don't care.
Are the people in court all high?
None of them are.
They're not.
To the best of my knowledge.
Because I would think if you see the high court and Doug Benson is the judge.
No, I don't. I don't get them high.
I'd get myself high. I don't need you.
They might. They might. there's coordinators that deal with the litigants when they come in. I don't interact with them, so I don't know what they're up to. So maybe some of them were high, but there was only one or two cases out of the first 20 that we did that has any real references to marijuana. Like there's two instances where someone was being accused of doing something wrong while they were high.
Gotcha.
And in both cases, I think.
With them.
In both cases, I think I was like, "Yeah, just because you're high, you don't get to burn someone's couch."
Look at that.
Not an excuse.
Look at that.
He is reasonable. So, Doug, you've carved yourself out a great life. You've got an enormously successful podcast, and you're a very popular stand-up, and you're doing these movies. You got yourself a TV show. Are you worried that the Supreme Court will see high court and go, "You know what? We got an opening. We got to have Doug Benson up there." And
then am I worried about it?
Hell, man.
That would be the best thing ever.
So stressed.
Then you got to move to D.C., and then you got to listen to boring
cases. I see where you're going with this. There were so many things I was thinking you could be wondering what I'm worried about, that being actually on the Supreme Court has not been one of them. I haven't sat back and thought, oh, maybe I'm really going to have to be a judge now.
It would just harsh or mellow to have to live in D.C. compared to California. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you can't beat the wardrobe. I got to say that just wearing a robe all day was really I was comfortable.
Now, I assumed you were naked under it.
No, but, jeans and a T-shirt.
This series premieres Monday night at midnight, but then it says it's Monday through Thursday. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's what we call a strip show where it's on every night after at midnight, and on Thursday nights they play two episodes back to back. So if you think, why is this a 15-minute show? It should be 30. Your dream will come true once a week.
Guys, it's a super, super funny show. You're going to love this. It's on Comedy Central, as Doug mentioned. It's called The High Court. You definitely want to check it out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back with Doug, we want to talk about, in all the years you've been doing the podcast, I think you've been doing the Doug Loves Movies podcast about 10 years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had an episode as explosive as the one you had this week?
Never.
Wait till you guys hear what happened. We'll talk to Doug about it when we return right after this on K-Rock.
And it's Doug Benson in studio with us.
We're going to talk to Jimmy Kimmel coming up right after 8 a.m. He is he's hosting the Academy Awards this year, it turns
out. What? They're giving it to just anybody now?
Apparently so, yes.
Everyone says no. Is Brett Ratner producing?
Well done.
And comedian Pete Holmes joins us next hour. So there's
Who's
a lot
that?
Of fun on the show.
I've never heard of him either.
You
what
know
are
I love
doing? Why is this happening? No, I love Pete Holmes and his new show, and I've already pitched a scene for us to do in season two if it gets picked up.
Oh, good.
Because, in the show, Pete's a brand new comedian. So he wouldn't have met me yet because we met once he was appearing on a VH1 program that we were both on called Best Week Ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we met at a Best Week Ever party. And on that show, you never meet the people that you're on the show with in person because you have separate.
Yeah, of course.
Interview separately. And so the first time I ever met Pete Holmes was at a Best Week Ever party. And he was drunk, and he lifted me up and wouldn't put me down.
And lifelong friends were made.
Yes.
Aww,
that's
Pete
awesome.
Fan.
And he's one of the most consistently, horribly disruptive, yet also hilarious guests on my podcast, Doug Loves Movies, to segue into what Bean would like to talk about.
Yes. Well, I just, as Kevin pointed out when we were talking about this earlier today, you're so laid back and so mellow and so everything goes and so roll with the flow that it was a little bit shocking to see you start getting into a screaming match with Hollywood stars and throw them off your show. Why don't you set up what happened, Doug?
Well, of course, keep in mind you were just listening to it and that I was seated in my chair the entire time and everything around me got more crazy. Like, it never, to the audience there, it never seemed like I was going to punch anyone or get punched. Mm-hmm. But to hear it probably sounded pretty awful.
It did.
Publicists reach out to me because enough people listen to the podcast now that if a movie's coming out, they're like, hey, can this star director from this movie come on your show? And they're often like, can they come on and be interviewed? And I have to go, well, Doug Loves Movies is more like a game show, talk show hybrid, and it's mostly silliness. But sure, I'd love to help them promote their movie. So a publicist reached out and said,
do you think that publicist ever passes that message along?
Oh, no, okay. they're terrible about, okay. And that's why I only really deal with them when it's like somebody I really want, you know, because there's going to be issues. Like the guests are supposed to bring a prize to put in the prize bag, and there's just several things the guests should be warned about ahead of time that right. the publicists rarely pass along. Sorry, publicists, if you're listening. So this one publicist,
but do your job.
Yeah, this one publicist reaches out to me and says, would you like to have the cast of Catfight, which is Anne Heche, Sandra Oh, and Alicia Silverstone on Doug Loves Movies? And I'm like, hell yes.
If that
could happen, that would be amazing to have those three ladies at the same time.
And how'd that go?
And well, then she writes back and goes, and will you have the director of the film, owner? She just says his first name, owner. But I've only known one owner in my life. And it was a guy who I met when I was doing the podcast at a film festival in Traverse City, Michigan. And he was such a terrible guest that I threw him off halfway through the show.
Oh, really?
But then the next day we talked and he said, oh, I had been drinking and I, you know, and we sort of became friends and we've stayed in touch. So I didn't know he directed Catfight. So as soon as they said it was a director owner, I looked it up on IMDb. And sure enough, it's that guy. His name's Owner Tuchel. And I was like, this is fantastic. These three actresses, plus giving him a second chance, my listeners will be like, oh, it's that guy he threw off. Let's see what happens this time.
Right.
Well, what happened this time is Anne Heche is as terrible as he is, and the two of them double-teamed me and ruined the show for a good 15 or 20 minutes.
Now, how did they do that?
By, ask me that question again.
And how
what
did they do
they
that? So you couldn't
They never
get
let
it.
Me speak.
You couldn't
I
talk
couldn't speak at any point because
started,
they would talk
they
at
would
the same time.
At, while you were trying to
and on the things your
they,
show.
And the things they were saying were attempted jokes that weren't funny.
Oh, no.
So they're bombing with the audience.
Oh.
And they're,
I love
and they're
it
trying
so
to
much.
Tell you how to host your show. They're telling you what you should be asking them.
Yeah, and Anne Heche clearly had no idea what it was going to be at all. And they showed up late, so I had no time to prep them backstage.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, it was just like a snowball of awful that just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Now, Doug, we've been doing this show for a number of years, as you know, and we've certainly had plenty of interviews that have gone awry. And there is a moment at which you have to make a decision whether you can save it or not, or whether it's just abort, abort, abort. And I'm sure that was going through your mind as well, because you didn't go into that looking for ugliness. You wanted everybody to have a nice time.
Most of the time Absolutely. When that happens to us, we'll just cut the interview short.
Yeah.
If this person doesn't want to be here and they're miserable, they're giving us bad answers, we'll just do a much shorter interview and say thanks for coming and move on. But
I've got an hour and 15-minute
right.
slot.
Jeez.
People paid $7 to get in.
Right.
There's, you know, I've got sponsors of the episode, you know, that are expecting an episode to come out the next day. So all of this is running through my head. Plus, I like Owner. I you know, Anne Heche has had her history of craziness over the years, but mm-hmm. as an actress, I've always thought she was good.
Right, I do
I was
too.
Prepared to crawl, you know, all the way inside her about how much I love the movie Cedar Rapids that she's in
mm-hmm.
with John C. Reilly. If you've never seen it, it's fantastic. And, no, the woman would rather just be completely disruptive, dismissive, not understanding what the hell is going on. I was like, I couldn't get through 6 days and seven nights with this woman. Poor Harrison Ford. I'd crash a plane, too, after meeting her.
Didn't you offer, if I remember correctly from the episode, Doug, didn't you offer Anne $20 to leave?
Yeah, because she one of the things she brought up very early on was how they weren't being paid to be there.
Oh, she was upset about that.
Because I was trying to point out, she kept interrupting me, and I said, hey, when you're in a movie, you let the other actors say their lines, and then you say your lines.
Hey.
You know, and I thought that was a cute way to point out to her that she should shut up.
Right.
And she responded with, well, when I'm in a movie, I'm getting paid. So, like,
right?
Ew.
So you gave her, I said, so you offered her $20.
I said, if I give you $20, will you leave right now?
Wait, and my question is, Sandra Oh, who might be one of the most pleasant human beings ever, she's just sitting there listening to this?
Well, then once Anne got up on her feet and came over and was, like, leaning into my face, you could see some pictures of it on Instagram, and was really weird. And then the director... Part of what he went into was protect Anne Heche mode, because she imploded so quickly that he just sort of piled on
right.
with her. But then one of his ideas to save it was to say to the audience, who here supports Donald Trump? And then there's silence.
What?
There's
complete
silence.
That's how you bring
a
room together, though, Doug.
There's complete silence. And I really feel like he brought it up like he thought the reason it was going badly is because he was in a room full of Trump supporters.
What?
Really?
The hell?
I think so.
So
they
may have
why.
Misread your crowd.
And Doug.
Yeah, I think they've misread life. And,
right.
And that they have a movie coming out is amazing. And, you know, and then once they left, because then. The director started saying, you know, well, I'm just going to leave. And I said, great. And then so eventually the two of them left. But then I stayed with Sandra Oh, who stayed put. And she never really threw them under the bus. But when I'd ask her things like, how did you make a movie with those people?
Right.
She'd say, like, it was an interesting set. It was a very creative set. There were a lot of ideas
right.
on the set.
It's all code.
Like, she's such a pro.
Yeah.
And she was such a good guest for the rest of the show. I pulled two people out of the audience to be the other guests. And we played the games and had a great time. But Anne Heche was standing in the wings watching. And I continued to make jokes about her for the rest of it. And the audience was laughing and everyone was having a nice time.
Why was she still there?
Because she's crazy.
Maybe Sandra was her ride.
Oh, no.
I actually said to her without thinking about it, what planet are you from? And then reminded me that she wrote a book about how she thinks she's from another planet.
Oh, yeah.
And that her name is Celestia or some nonsense.
Right.
That was so
right.
long ago
yeah.
that it's under the bridge
right.
for me.
Sure.
But it's still her life.
Wow.
She's still
sure
reminding people that she thinks she's a space alien or whatever.
So Doug, it was a disaster for a few minutes, and then you saved it. But my question is, looking back, are you glad it happened?
Well, that's the unfortunate side of this whole world, is as much as you don't want a train wreck to happen, it creates tremendous buzz for your show.
Sometimes
for your
it's
show.
Awesome.
Like more people are listening to this episode than would have a regular one.
And it's a legendary episode. It's going to be part of the Doug Benson, Doug Loves Movies canon that people will always refer to. As one of the classic episodes.
But that's what I was going to say, though, is she watched for a while and realized that it's just a fun, nice atmosphere and that everyone mm-hmm. is on the same page. And then went to the publicist along with the director, and the two of them wanted to come back out on stage to apologize
while
the show was still going.
Wow.
And smarter heads, you know, cooler heads prevailed and said, no, don't go back out there.
Good.
The people backstage, you know, that work for the theater and a friend of mine, they were just like, no, don't go back out there. Because they would have re-ruined it. They do not have the capacity to go out and just behave normally and back to business. They would have, a new argument would have
started.
There's
nothing they could do about it. It just would have happened.
It would have been awful.
Yeah.
So
well, it's a great episode,
guys. It all worked out great, and you can listen to it on iTunes or at DougLovesMovies.com.
You should definitely check that out. And the new TV series is called The High Court, premiering this Monday night at midnight on Comedy Central. It's also great. And by the way, if you want to see Doug live, the next edition of his Doug Benson movie Interruption is going to be happening on Monday, March 20th at the Cine Family. And this time you're doing the film Collateral Beauty.
Yeah, that can't be good, right?
Yeah, this is going to be you and special guests to be announced who are going to be chiming in.
Will
while
Smith
they watch
plays
movie.
A guy who suddenly starts getting letters from Hope. Not a person named that, but the idea.
Yeah.
Of hope.
Yeah.
And I think death also mails him.
Doug, you have a crazy life, my friend. And we love you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 751. 7:51. It's not 8:51.
We good? We good?
Right, yep, we're good.
Man, whatever you say.
Oh, good.
All right. Whatever time you want it to be, man. Just don't hurt anybody.
7:52 now.
Okay, yeah. Right. Whatever time you say.
That's what time it is. Hey, guys, all this week here on the Kevin DeBean Show, we have been giving away tickets, 4 packs of lift tickets to KROQ Storm's Bear Mountain, which is going to be tomorrow. It's going to be so much fun, not for me, but for others. free KROQ concert on the deck with Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness and Kay Flay and DJ Jeremiah Red, who just does a great job. And we just gave away another lift ticket package to Alex Martinka from Manhattan Beach. So thank you, Alex, for listening. Your chance to win is coming up. Jimmy Kimmel joins us right after the top of the hour to talk this weekend's Academy Awards. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, it's that time of year. They're starting to speculate who might be joining the cast of next season's Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, great.
The premier slot in Hollywood, really, once you land one of those coveted opportunities.
Is he a Puig?
No word on whether Yseal will be there or not, but Simone Biles.
Simone Biles, athlete?
Olympic gymnast.
Gymnast, yeah. Okay.
Apparently she is in talks. Also, they're saying a cast member from Pretty Little Liars, but they can't confirm which one yet, apparently is in the running. Maybe one of the Property Brothers, or perhaps a Storage Wars contestant. Also, they're speculating
well, they're really
could be
the
in
stars.
The mix. Oh, I hope they get, yep, I hope they get him. That guy, the yep guy, hope he's there, dancing going, yep, just doing the tango, yep, everywhere he goes, yep. I gave you plenty of time to find it. Never mind now. How about Mr. T?
Okay.
That would be great.
That's what I'm
all
talking
right
about. A pity the fool that don't pass a doble. Yep. Really?
Now we
well
have
done.
Really?
Jeez. Good Lord.
Look,
it's 751.
I don't care if you found it or not.
Yep.
Once I'm into the T chunk, that's the train has left the station. There's no more yups.
I didn't realize you were in the T-chunk.
Pity the fool. Don't know when I'm in the T-chunk.
Yep.
Nope.
Damon Wayans Jr. will be starring in an upcoming TV series called Singularity, about a future world in which artificial intelligence has passed human intelligence, causing some interesting changes in society. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are producing the show.
I enjoy him.
Damon Wayans Jr.?
Yes.
Love him.
Happy Endings was my favorite show. Very sad. Love him on New Girl.
New Girl.
So good.
Such a talented, charming young man.
How to Be Single. He was a single dad in that. It was,
perhaps the funniest of all the Wayanses.
You think?
I think.
Huh.
Who do you think? You got somebody else in mind? Got
no.
Other Wayanses?
I think he's very talented.
I'm a Marlin man myself in terms of funny.
What?
He's the one we've had in here on our show a couple times, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's really funny.
Okay.
I like that dude.
All right.
Damon's a good actor, too, though.
Damon's phenomenal.
He's the best.
I will
what can I say? I just think Marlon's funny.
Well, we're wrong.
Kevin, be the tiebreaker here.
I'm a fan of Joe.
Joe Wayans.
Joe Wayans, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's good.
He's the best.
Boston's the worst, right?
No, Boston is the best.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful place full of winners.
You've never said anything more true.
Full of winners.
This has nothing to do with show business, but I saw this story and I couldn't help but bring it in. Because I've never heard of any city being worse than this.
Really? Have you met Philly?
Yeah.
Have you met where you're from?
Yeah,
he has.
Lived there. You know, I've never had this problem.
Electing Trump?
No, this.
Oh, because your state did. Thank you.
Philadelphia didn't.
No, the state.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Boston's Liquor Licensing Board.
Oh, dear.
The city's Liquor Licensing Board.
Yes.
Has made a pretty severe threat to all the bars and restaurants in Boston.
Oh, no.
Control your people, or you won't be able to serve drinks in actual glasses any longer. Because there have been so many incidents of glasses being used as weapons.
Wow.
To injure, kill, and maim in Boston, that the Liquor Licensing Board is threatening to take away all glassware.
Listen.
From any restaurant that serves alcohol, and they will have to be served in a plastic container.
How about
things get
that?
Heated.
Have there been a lot of fights breaking out with
no people? It's been perfectly peaceful.
Where people are using glass as a weapon. That's what I'm asking.
Where would you think this story came from?
Hey, you know where you should have got that from? When I said because of the incidents where glasses were used as weapons to maim, kill and hurt.
Were you
listening? I said it out loud.
What about what's happening in Boston, though, with the bars there?
You are adorable.
I swear to God. That's sad. That sounds pretty bad, though.
Yeah.
I don't like
it. They have to threaten to take away your glass.
Yeah.
Because
the whole city.
Hey, bus, stop cutting each other with your drinking glasses.
I mean, you know, when you're talking about stuff and then you're like, what's up, Sully? And then you're like, oh my God, Rachel. Things get heated.
Oh, let me just break this on the bar and put my pint glass up to your jugular.
I've cut a bitch for less. This was a success.
But does anybody use a glass as a weapon?
But what's happening with the glasses?
Any maiming.
Is there anyone using them as a weapon? Why would they make such a decision?
It's a very reasonable question.
It was answered before you even asked it.
I was recapping.
You weren't recapping.
No, you weren't.
People who tuned in late like
you
me.
You were recapping for people who weren't listening to the first half of the story like you.
I'm telling you, bag in the desert is the only answer, right?
Why do some people tune out?
Why do people who work on the show tune out?
I mean, we have heard you a lot, to be honest.
Let's fix that right now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah. Hey, what about the birthdays and all that stuff?
Nope.
I'm out.
Okay. About an hour from right now, we'll give you some more tickets to see AFI. If you want to join us here at K-Rock in the new HD Radio Sound Space, they're going to be performing live next Monday at 5. We're going to be streaming it, but wouldn't it be better to be there in the room to see the band up close? So that's coming up on K-Rock. And, of course, you're also eligible for the grand prize trip to see them in Glasgow, Scotland. Hey, the Oscar host, Jimmy Kimmel's on the phone, you guys.
Hey.
Hey, James.
Jimmy? How about that? Ba-da-ba-ba,
it's Jimmy. Right? That guy.
Kimmel. I mean, live. We know how that goes.
We get it.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. I don't know if you guys heard, but in Boston, they're thinking about taking people's glasses away
from
bars because... And Bean, are you listening?
Yes, I am, but why would they take their glasses away unless they're being used as like a weapon or something?
Well, you know, actually that was referenced a couple of times before. You know, I have to say, I get up right around the time the showbiz beat is on, so I hear it often. And not only was that the funniest one ever, it was like a group therapy session. It indicates... A group of people that no longer go on anymore.
You could be right.
Along. I mean, four individual people, all with good reason to be annoyed.
So we're no longer a team, is what you're saying.
Well, you are a team. You're just a team that hates each other.
I see.
Okay. So we're playing as individuals, right, is what the problem is, instead of as a team. And I have to be honest. Look, it was my bad, and I
really,
really,
I was on
you.
That
one was on me.
It was your bad. I think, Jim, honestly, I think what happened is I was tweeting that you were coming up next. I think I was distracted.
Why
don't
you blame it on Jimmy?
I was tweeting about your appearance this interview right here.
It's Jimmy's fault.
Also, you know, sometimes you disappear mentally so you can look for clips of Mr. T to play for everyone.
There you go. Thank you, Jimmy. You understand. You got my back. I get it. All right. So listen, I know you've been asked all of these questions a million times because it's a very big deal hosting the Oscars. But for reals, you wake up this morning.
Come on.
How are you feeling? Do you have a ton to do between now and Sunday night, or are you pretty much locked in and you're done?
What?
I said,
you see how it feels?
It's not good.
Feel.
Yeah, it's not good.
Do I have a ton to do? Yeah, I do have a ton to do because I leave everything for the end. You know, you don't know who's presenting with whom until the last... Sometimes until the day of the show.
I didn't know that.
And you sit there, and you know, like I've had I've had a couple of great jokes that just go away because certain people decide either they're not coming or they're not going to sit in the audience for the monologue. They're going to come.
But are you a quitter? You're not going to do the joke then?
It just it's not that. It's just that it don't work unless that person is sitting there staring at you.
I see.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So that's frustrating. But other than that, I'm mostly there.
How much do you get the bigwigs in your grill? How much does that happen where they're asking you what you're going to do and trying to get you to run stuff by them and all that? Are they worried?
It depends. Like if you want to bring a live animal into the show, you have to go through them. But if it's just a joke, that's pretty much up to me.
I have heard in some of your previous interviews in the last week that there was at one point you were going to present Meryl Streep with a donkey, and that somehow got nixed, right?
It was a pony. Again, not listening to you. Again, not listening.
You need to listen, Bean.
You said a donkey.
I went to Merrill to have sex with a donkey to celebrate the 20th.
No, there was no sex involved. It was a gift. It was a pony that was a gift, I thought.
It was a gift, yeah. yeah, you're right. It wasn't her having sex on the Oscars with an animal.
If you're just joining us, we're on the phone with the great Stephen Colbert here on K-Rock, I think. I'm not really paying attention.
So last time we talked about the Oscars and I was on, one of you asked me how much I would make from the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that has become now a constant question.
Everybody else asks you about it now?
I've only been asked about 150,000 times.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim.
And then it's a great situation because, well, it's my fault for mentioning it, but it's a great situation because they'll be like, oh, you know, some people will be, you know, it's $15,000, so it's not like it's no money, but some people just like almost get mad at me, like, really? That's all you get paid for it?
They're mad at you for that?
Well, it's like I've somehow, I've done a bad job of negotiating or something.
You've cheapened the industry for other people who want to get paid now. Because
exactly.
If they can get you to host the Oscars for that, then what am I worth, is what they're saying.
This is what President Trump is trying to fix.
Exactly. Right?
But, Jimmy, if a joke fails now, you can go, look, I'm only getting paid 15 grand. What do you want from me?
I don't think they'd believe it. That's the problem.
Yeah, true. Hey, listen, I have to ask you this, Jimmy, only because it's so relevant to the fact that you're now hosting the Oscars. Would you mind please telling the story about you and Kevin crashing the Oscars all those years ago? Because I love that you guys did that.
It was, Kevin, if you remember any of this. By the way, Kevin, I should start off by telling you, I used to work there.
Right.
With you.
Okay? Here?
Yeah, you and I worked together every day. I was there in the...
Here at K-Rock?
I was at K-Rock, yeah, in the room with you. I was in the room.
Must have been before my time.
No. It was the whole time you were
there. I see. Okay. All right.
Anyway, Kevin and I... Boy, I don't know where we got this idea, and I don't even remember where we got tuxedos, but we did get tuxedos, and we decided that we were going to go to the governor's ball and get interviews. And we, of course, nobody's allowed into the governor's ball to get interviews. It's the big party after the Oscars. So
the Emmys, the Grammys, everything else. Security is a completely different animal when you get to the Oscars.
And yet we somehow did all of that. We went to all of
that.
We
did, yes.
Did all of those things. As I recall, you brought a laser pointer to the Grammys.
That's
an entirely different, ugly episode.
That was just before I got thrown out. Yes.
Now, with the tuxedos on, did you pretend to be guests or were you wait staff or what was your angle?
We were somewhere between those two things. We figured if we went at noon, way before anybody got there, and I don't know, this sounds like a plan I concocted, but I figured if we wait until everybody got there, we'd just become part of the scenery. Like, you know, like, oh yeah, those guys are here. I don't know if they're security or if they're waiters or maitre d's or what.
And didn't we sneak in through the kitchen?
We went right into the kitchen. And we kind of said hello to everybody, too, so that...
That's nice.
So that we would be, you know, just seen as, you know, workers. We knew these aren't full-time workers. It's the Oscars. It's once a year. So we go, and we stood... I mean, we didn't even sit. We stood in this room for 9 hours until 9 p.m. when the show was over.
So we're in the room that they go to after the Oscars.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We stood in the room waiting and waiting and waiting, and a show ends, and you know we're watching it on a TV set there in the governor's ball. This is down at the Shrine Auditorium, and people start coming in. Just before people start coming in, some security guys come over and go, "Where are your wristbands?" We're like, "Like you have to leave." We're like, "No, we're here with the producer of the show," and at that point one of us got on the phone with Frank Murphy, who was our old producer, and he was watching the credits and he saw Gil Cates was the producer of the Oscars. We said, "We're here with Gil Cates," and they looked us up on a list, and of course we weren't, and we were kicked right out, and we were so
after 9 hours
mad and so bummed. And I don't know, I actually am still proud of us, but we got ahead of steam. We said we are not going home, and
right,
we just made a U-turn and just joined the stream of celebrities marching into, and we went right in.
That was our backup plan, was we just tried to go in the right way.
Sure. Yeah.
And they let us right through.
They let us right through.
That's amazing.
And then we started
doing
interviews.
What a waste of 12 hours.
And John Travolta was at a table, and Kevin had a microphone up his sleeve, and Kevin said, you know, hey, we're from K-Rock, and he thought it was funny. And then Kevin, do you remember, did he go get us food, or did he, he went and got us.
I think he went and got us food.
He got us a plate of food.
That's lovely.
So it was really nice.
Really
and
nice.
We were starving, because we'd been there all day.
Sure. Yeah, we're too scared to eat.
That is fantastic.
I think that's like a much smaller version of like the experience that an immigrant has in America.
Yeah, it's very
where
similar.
You're afraid to go get basic services because you fear deportation, which we indeed feared at that moment.
And which happened.
Yep. But you know what happened? We got right back on our raft. And we, wet foot, dry foot, right there in the Oscars.
I think that's a very fair analogy that you're making. I find no fault with that. All right. Well, listen.
You were listening to it, though?
I heard the whole story. I enjoyed it very much, Jim.
Thanks.
Where did we go in, Bean? Where did we try to enter first?
You went through the kitchen first.
Okay.
The other side. Okay. I was paying attention.
We're turning things around.
I just want to say, Jimmy, that when we heard the news that you had been announced as the host, all of us, collectively, America said it's about time, because you're a perfect choice for this, and you're going to have a great time, and we're really, really excited about seeing the show. And as always, we're super, super proud of you, and I hope you have a lot of fun. I know you don't tend to enjoy these things while you're doing it, but I hope this is an okay night for you.
Well, I appreciate that, and thanks, Phil. This is my last interview about the Oscars. So.
Oh.
Yes.
And if you get into any kind of rough patch, just think, hey, Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dundee hosted this show. How hard could it be?
Is that true?
Is that true? Yes, he was a host one year.
No way.
Yes, he was.
Thank you for ruining it for me.
There's no way that's true.
It is absolutely true. You can look it up. Jimmy, you've been doing the research on podcast Oscar.
I have. That one eluded me somehow.
Because it's false.
He hosted the show. I'm telling you guys this true. Somebody
Jimmy
look
Bean
it up.
Is lying to you.
Allie, please look it up. Please source me on that.
I'm going to go get a huge knife and bring it out.
That's not a knife.
All right. The 89th Annual Academy Awards air live on ABC this Sunday night. The red carpet starts at 4, and Jimmy's going to be live at 5:30 with the show. And by the way, Jimmy Kimmel Live is going to be all new next week. It's not like he does this and then he's on vacation. You're going to have a whole new week of shows next week as well. So.
Yeah.
So good luck to you, my friends.
That seems like a bad plan.
Good day, Jim.
Thanks for coming on. Pete Holmes is probably best known as a comedian, but he's a writer, a podcaster, a cartoonist, an executive producer, an actor. He does it all, ladies and gentlemen, and he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you,
things.
Pete?
That's too many things.
I know.
We got to drop some of those things.
Sous chef.
Right?
UN translator. You missed a few. I keep
Pete,
things moving.
We have so much we want to talk to you about, but I want to start by hearing your version of the story Doug Benson told us last hour about the first time you two met in person.
You can always rely on Doug Benson for an accurate story.
I got to tell you, his memory is impeccable.
It really is.
No,
he's probably right. This is an embarrassing story, right?
Okay.
Right? It was at the Best Week Ever party.
That was it.
Yeah, and that was old Petey's first showbiz.
Yes.
And I was on a show called Best Week Ever on VH1. And I was the sweet buck that you see on Crashing. Like, I'm pretending to be him. So this is like 25-year-old me, and I go to this party, and there's an open bar, and I just never seen such a thing.
And you thought, I bet you thought it was the greatest invention in human history.
I died and gone to heaven.
This is like free samples, but with booze. And you could have many, many samples.
And apparently you did.
I did. Yeah. Well, I remember the last thing, it was one of the first times I blacked out. I thought blacked out meant passed out.
Right.
Apparently blackout just means like you leave, but you have like a Frankenstein monster that's still mingling at the party.
And looks just like you.
And it looks just like you, and you're responsible for him. What a nightmare.
Wow.
And there aren't even bolts in the neck to cue people that you should not be talked to. So here I am at this party. All these people I'm trying to impress. I've probably done the show maybe 5 times at that point, and it was really important to me. But I was nervous, and I go to the bar, and I start drinking. I notice other people are getting drunk. So I start doing shots, and then I knew you're supposed to chase shots with something. So I was drinking shots and then chasing them with sips of liquor. So it was like liquor, and it was like, I got to get this Jack Daniels taste out with old Jack Daniels. Like, send some of that in there.
That's drinking 101.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And then I don't remember it, so you tell me if this is what he said, but I didn't remember meeting him. A week later,
oh, I know.
You heard the story. Afterwards,
kids,
yeah.
Kids and old people alike, drink responsibly, yeah. Please. It's not just the end of a beer commercial. It's good advice. It's a real thing. Because I got so toasted that he came. First of all, the booker was there, this guy who I love named Norman Baker. He was responsible for booking the show.
Right.
And I was avoiding him. For fear, because I was smart. Sober Pete was smart to go, don't piss off the booker.
Right.
Then once I became Frankenstein Blackout Pete, I just went over, put him in a headlock right away.
Good.
And licked,
that's a good start.
Licked his bald
you
head.
You licked his bald head.
I thought he might have psychoactive properties, and I wanted to go to the other side. So right. I gave him a little lick, just to give him a little shine, though.
He could have been a frog. like you do.
Yeah. This is how Lithuanians greet non-Lithuanians. We give them a lick. My tongue is like sandpaper. I'm a cat man. And then later, Doug came in, and I was very excited to meet Doug because he's a great comedian. He was
right.
on the show, but he taped in L.A. and I taped in New York, and there he was. And I don't. You tell me what he said.
Well, he said that you picked him up, held him yeah. high in the air, and refused to set him down.
He said yeah. you wouldn't put him down
for yeah. a long time.
A long uncomfortable time.
I get like pro wrestler strength when I'm drinking.
Sounds
this,
like it.
This is really embarrassing. I'm 6'6", and I never use it. I've never had to fight crime
right.
or assist the elderly.
Right.
So when I'm really toasted, I like to prove my strength. I become like an old king. I'm like, we need challenges of feats of strength. And I'll grab Doug Benson and lift him up just to prove that I can do it.
But that wasn't the part. The part that killed us all was that you wouldn't put him down.
Yeah. It was a hostage situation.
It was a worthy opponent, and you bested him, Pete.
I mean, Doug's not – he's not, like, huge, but that's impressive.
It is.
It is impressive.
It's a unit yeah. of measurement. I can lift one Benson.
So the, so the two things that you know you did was lick a man's head.
I licked a man.
And you picked up another one and wouldn't put him down.
Who knows what I did to Aziz? Something happened to Aziz.
Oh,
that's a
he was on
showbiz party.
Yeah. That's embarrassing. But those are the sorts of things. I'm not even trying to work this into Crashing, although I should. The show that
yes,
we're doing,
you should.
We're trying to do those moments, those things when it's like when you are nervous and starting out. Because so many shows about comedians, they're already hilarious, and that's great. I love those shows. But we're excited to tell like an origin story. What is it like when you get your first TV
Look,
thing and you get toasted at a party?
That's what we ask a lot of comedians because to us that's fascinating. You must have had so much rejection
that's
and
right.
disappointment.
Who cares? It's just a show about cucumber water and erotic massages after you've made your first million. You know what I'm saying? Like I want to know the stories. Like I used to have to hand out flyers. For
your own shows?
For my own shows. So you'd get to go on at a club called the Boston Comedy Club in Manhattan. Sure. Very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd stand on McDougal in Third.
Did you pick anyone up?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Hand out
you know
flyers.
What? I was such a Boy Scout, like it didn't even occur to me. I'm sure most people were sneaking a little doobie or drinking a little bit just to make it go by.
Of course.
I was having like weak tea and just really riding the lightning of the thrill of being in Manhattan. I was so thrilled. And we shot the show, so that's called Barking, and episode 4 of Crashing is just about barking.
Okay.
And we shot it on McDougal and
the same place.
In
about a minute and a half.
I saw in your eyes. I'm a host.
You could see it in my eyes?
I could see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
But I remember a homeless woman came up to me because we were doing it at like 1 a.m. on a Wednesday on McDougal and Third. She came up and she goes, "Are you the movie star? You the movie star?" And there are all these lights and cameras. And I'm like, "Yeah, that's not a movie, but I'll give her a thrill." And I was like, "Yes, indeed, ma'am, I am the movie star." And then she made a talon with her right hand and grabbed me right in the balls.
Oh, nice.
Really?
And went, "I did it! I did it!" And I was so used to, as an actor, having my makeup adjusted, my clothes picked at, that I didn't even move. It was like a bear trap. I didn't want to struggle.
Right, I was
what?
I was thinking, it would take your mind, it would take your mind a while to get...
Yeah, I should have picked
around.
Her up. If I
should have, right?
But then the director, Jeff Shaffer, who does a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm stuff in Seinfeld, he's great, he comes over and I'm like, I'm about to tell him, like, Jeff, please, she means no harm. Mm-hmm. She's a local legend of
she
McDougal.
She had a hold of your junk.
I know, but it's been a while for old Petey, and I'll take what I can get. And she's gripping him like a vice, and he comes over, and I'm assuming it's his job to protect the talent.
You would think.
He gives her $20. Everybody applauded. This
win-win.
Woman made $20 for grabbing old Pete's nuts. Because that's what it's like when you're starting comedy. That's what it's like. I wish the cameras were rolling.
Glamorous showbiz, huh?
Exactly. Pete's show is called Crashing, by the way. Executive produced by himself and the great Judd Apatow. It's Sunday nights at 10:30 on HBO. It just debuted this past week, by the way, so it's not too late to jump on board.
You can even watch it for free, Beansy, at HBO.com. Sorry to interrupt.
That is also true, Pete Holmes. We'll take a quick break. More with our guests. Right after this on K-Rock.
LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean show at 8:35. Did I say any of that clearly? None of it clearly.
The world came out wool.
That was one word.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
I don't think that was translated into English for the rest of us. I feel like that is necessary.
It's K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean.
Pete Holmes is here, yes. Our guest back on the Kevin and Bean show. Always great to catch up with Pete.
Yes.
He's got a lot going on right now, including a new show on HB Mother F and O. It is called Crashing. It airs Sunday nights at 10:30. And as you described to it, it's basically a semi-fictionalized version of you moving to New York and trying to make it as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. When I grew up religious. I got married when I was 22. Like you do.
Right.
And then my wife had an affair with a small Italian man named Rocco.
Named Rocco.
I mean, I like saying his name because he really paints the picture. It gives you
does.
A better idea.
He's so hairy.
It also, sort of makes it worth it.
Yeah. No,
sort of.
It's a good story. Yes. Actually, you see, I have no ill will towards them. I really do hope they're happy. And I knew Rocco, and he was a good guy.
Oh, they're still together?
They're still together. Yeah, they're together. Wow. I think. No online presence. Can't find him.
But
find him.
Somebody's been spending too much time looking.
Frankenstein Pete loves to get on Facebook. Where is she? Show me what you look like now.
So you just have to deal with it.
I know. Well, he was very fit, very good looking fit man. So I've never felt softer and more like a lesbian Val Kilmer than I do now. after she left me. But then we turned it into comedy. The show is a fictionalized version of what it's really like to have your wife leave. And then my character Pete is new at comedy, like we were saying before the music, is that he's an open micer. He was kind of in the shallow end. His wife leaves, and then he has no money and no talent really yet. So he's got to like stay on the couches of different comedians. So every episode, it's nothing like I've seen before. Every episode's a different guest star that Pete's staying with. So you get to see what it's like to be with Artie Lang, then T.J. Miller, then Sarah Silverman.
That's great.
It resets every episode. So yeah.
And these are real life friends of yours.
Well, in real life, when my wife left me for a small Italian man named Rocco, T.J. Miller like was pretty close to me, not super close, but we were pretty close. And he was like, "That's it, come out to Pittsburgh. We're shooting this movie. I'll put you up in the hotel."
Aww.
And that's what I mean. This is this underreported side of comedy where they can be debaucherous and drinking and getting the prostitutes.
And we think of it as being so competitive and cutthroat too, but it sounds like you're talking about the opposite in that scene.
Well, I think it even happened in making Crashing. Sarah Silverman had that death scare right before. She should have by rights been at home sipping tea and watching movies. She should have. We just assumed she was going to cancel.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to let down her friends. And again, Sarah and I aren't like best friends. There's a camaraderie. There's something about being in the foxholes together. Sarah also barked, handed out flyers on McDougal and Third. So there is really something that bonds us together, almost like a species. So I still see it.
Now, you said when during the song we were talking off the air, and you said New York, when you go there to be a comedian, it just doesn't want you.
That's it. Well, one of the things we're trying to do in the show, for anybody that's pursuing any dream, I think they can relate to Crashing, is that we're showing how badly your dream and New York don't want you. And there's something beautiful, like a metaphor, like New York is like comedy. People move to Manhattan every day, and they're like, "I can't do it!"
Yeah.
Saw a homeless guy push the crosswalk. But so it's like New York is like comedy. Like people quit comedy. Comedy doesn't notice. People leave New York. New York doesn't notice. So we're trying to tell the story of the plight of what it's like to eat.
Something I noticed,
balls.
Which I don't
I'm
think
I'm sorry?
I've... Wait, what?
Can you say eat ball?
Not really.
Meatballs.
Right.
Okay.
We knew that's what you meant.
Something I noticed, and I don't think I've ever really noticed much in a show, is depictions of faith and, you know, the zoom in on Jesus. And it, are you going to explore the crisis of faith?
Gives our show stakes. You know what I'm saying? It's like other shows about a comedian whose wife leaves. The next scene is him getting drunk or
doing
drugs.
Blow, exactly. Yeah.
I had people in real life go, "Don't worry, man. Just do a lot of cocaine."
Right.
Like, that was the advice that the scene was giving me.
Did the scene know who they were talking to?
No, they did not. I had a pocket Bible with the maps in my back pocket.
Oh.
But that's what's interesting about our show is that Pete is a boy of faith.
Yeah.
And he has these values that are at odds with the world. So what is it like when he hangs out with Artie? What is it like when he hangs out with Dave Attell and all these other, Jim Norton is on the show.
Oh, wow. No.
It's like really interesting to see.
What happens with Jim?
There's
that
a strip club involved. Yeah, not a match. But here's somebody who needs a lot of help who also feels like he can help these people, not by converting them, but because he feels love for his neighbors. Aww. And I think that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interest about that.
You said Artie Lang did a lot of improv on this episode, which was shocking to me.
Yeah.
Because he's so great.
He's incredible. And that being he hasn't acted in 14 years.
Really?
Wow. How
is
that
possible?
I know he's
playing himself, but he is still acting.
He was acting his pants off. Literally, he took his dirty sweatpants off in the middle of the take and put them in a pile with his filthy Yankees hat. No, Artie, like, we have this scene that's in the pilot where it's me and Artie eating pizza, and I had the scene written out. You know, I wrote the pilot, and there were things we were supposed to get across, this, and that. And then on the day, Judd just, we're shooting on film. And the reason I mention that is because there's only 12 minutes of film in a reel. So we start rolling, and then Judd, instead of doing the scene, he just goes, Artie, just tell Pete what you would tell a new comedian. And then Artie just goes for the full 12 minutes.
Wow.
And did you think, I spent a long time writing this. I wrote every word.
No, I went, those fools will think I wrote this.
Right?
The episode ends with written by Pete Holmes. The Emmy. If I won an Emmy, I would be sure to say Artie brought so much to it creatively. At the
you're
end,
you're not
going to
win an Emmy, Pete. Come on, let's all be realistic.
If I'm nominated,
slow down, buddy.
Nominated.
Slow down.
Because at the end of the, you know, the film runs out and it's like. Like, that's how we know it's over. No one even yelled cut. Everyone applauded.
Isn't that a more expensive way to do it?
It is, but Judd very much wanted the show to look like a movie, and there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of smack talk around L.A. that you can make digital look like film. And maybe you can if you have the right people really working very hard on it.
Right.
But you know what's foolproof is shooting on film. It just looks it
that
looks
really does
right
look
away.
Like film.
That's what I'm saying. And people say that to us. They're
no,
like,
I'm
why
saying
is this
shooting on film. That's the way to really make it look like film, right?
And it works.
Yeah, it
it's
does.
Foolproof. If you want it to look like it's film, shoot it on film.
Makes sense.
Why did I turn into Seinfeld?
HBO,
I'm not sure.
HBO is, you know, has been the comedy holy grail for decades. I mean, that's where you want your show to be. And they love comedians. They love working with comedians. So will you hear sooner rather than later about a second season, you think, Pete?
Oh, Beansy, let's put it out there.
Yes, let's.
You know, based on other shows, Insecure and other stuff like that, I think they wait for a couple episodes. I also think they're waiting. That's why I was interrupted you so rudely to get people to watch it on HBO.com because they look at the digital numbers as well. And
I think your ratings are in the 90s on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way.
Yeah, I believe we're holding strong at 96, which makes me really happy.
Yeah.
Unless it changed, don't tell me.
But 96.
Yeah,
that's great.
I feel like I'd be happy with a 66.
It's still fresh.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I'd be happy with a 69. Okay, come on. It's morning radio.
Pants.
People are sleepy. People are driving to work and they're sleepy. They need a good mutual oral. Okay, come on. A bit.
We know what it is.
A mutual oral.
So we get it.
Right.
I'm still kind of the guy on the show.
Before we say goodbye to Pete, let me play a clip from the show because this will give you an idea of how tense it is for your character, Pete Holmes, played by Pete Holmes, with your lovely wife, Jessica, played by the great Lauren Lapkus, by the way, who's so great on this show, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, she killed
And this is the kind of the frustration that you're talking about, not only with the comedian who's trying to make it in this industry, but also the collateral damage of the people around him, in this case, his wife.
What is going on?
I'm sorry. I just came home one day and I found like a bowl of cereal in the bathtub and your socks were on the kitchen floor.
So? So you have an affair?
No, I'm just saying. It's like you need a nanny. I'm turning into your mom. I don't want to be your mom.
What are you talking about? We're happy.
Peter, you're happy. I completely support you while you pursue your dreams.
Yes! Like a wife supports a guy in medical school. It's like I'm in medical school.
You're not in medical school. You tell jokes for free that cost us $40 in gas, okay? You've been doing this for so long. Shouldn't your act be better by now?
That's a great question.
I mean,
that cuts deep, Pete.
A lot of truth
that was
right
all
there.
Judd, by the way. Whenever we had Pete, my character, having a fight, fight, Judd would be like, tell him he's not funny. Because we wanted to, that's what really gets to people. In that fight, that's what makes him angry. It's the affair, but then his wife is like, you're not funny. And that's what makes him say the next line
so much worse.
Is not radio appropriate, because that's what really hurts his feelings.
The one thing that I've learned from being married as many years as I have is when you're in an argument and you say these words, what are you talking about? We're happy.
Yes.
Means you've got problems.
Yeah. Not good. Unless you're at a Red Lobster. Then the liquid butter solves a lot of sins.
There you go. That's our takeaway for today.
I'm not even sure I know what happened right there.
You can watch it on HBO.com or Sunday nights on HBO. The show is called Crashing. And don't forget, Pete's podcast is always excellent, called You Made It Weird, available through iTunes and Nerdist.com. Pete, it's always great to see you, man. Thanks for coming in.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
Was Pete Holmes amped up on something?
On happiness, because he's the happiest, most genuinely wonderful human being ever.
Because he's funny and energetic, you think he has to be on drugs?
I guess I was surprised. I'm not used to seeing Pete at that high energy. That's all. I mean, he was delightful.
He's that good every time he's on our show.
Have you listened to his podcast?
He's always a great guest. He just seemed extraordinarily
just stop talking.
Listen, he's riding high, Bean. He is riding high.
You are on a roll today.
Everything is going right for Petey Pants.
Just pull it back a little. Step on, pump the brake.
I'm not used to seeing joy.
I mean,
in this
he was no Marlon Wayans. Don't get us wrong.
Funniest man in the world, right there.
Good Lord,
Slam dunk. I just said he was my favorite Wayans. That's all. I'm allowed to feel that.
Was it White Girls? Was it the performance
Betty
in that movie?
I haven't seen
any of his
really,
movies. Listen, it's at 8:55.
He hasn't seen any of his movies.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Ali is wrong about La La Land, and we'll discuss that coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Programming note: I don't want anyone to miss it tonight. Mama June from Not to Hot premieres tonight.
I think you were right the first time.
Tonight on Wee TV, I want to say.
I think that's right.
Yeah. So reportedly, she was at one point in her life 460 pounds.
Wow.
But now, according to producers,
I'm going from not too hot.
Now she's hot, and she is a size 4.
That would make her smaller than the average American woman now.
Yes. And her daughters report that she walks around the house in her underwear now.
Oh, no.
She is so happy with her new look. So if you want to follow the adventures of Sketty Girl and Cheese Puff Boy, or whoever they are, then tonight's your chance. Tonight's your chance. I heard rumors in the other room. I don't want to excite anyone unduly in case this is misinformation.
Okay.
But I heard Dave on the phone, who I believe was LaQuisha. I think LaQuisha's going to watch the show tonight.
All right.
No.
And then report back on Monday. That's what I've heard.
Great news.
Kevin LaQuisha.
LaQuisha.
The return of LaQuisha, possibly on Monday's show, to take a look at Mama June. Her favorite
foods are sketty and butter.
From Not to Hot.
I'm just happy if LaQuisha will talk to us again.
She may not after that Marlon Wayans take. But
I mean,
Bean's been off target for about a couple
three
of,
weeks.
3 weeks now, yeah.
Come
yeah.
on, my brother. You guys, you're gonna be like that.
Almost a month.
He's just beating the skins. He can't help himself. Hey, play those horse teeth. Take that bass line for a walk.
You guys don't remember, but when we've had Marlon Wayans on the show as a guest, he has killed. He's been great.
Did you tell him?
Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
I don't believe I used those words to say goodbye to Mr. Wayans now.
All right.
Power to the people. Right on.
I'm saying that Marlon is the funniest of the Wayans.
Because Damon Wayans Jr. has passed?
No. He's still around.
Is he not an option any longer?
That's what we're asking.
Bean has half-baked theories. That's what it is. He'll see one tiny thing
half-baked.
Of one. Not even that much.
They're not even dough yet.
They're just in separate
places. He'll just see one ingredient.
Like eggs and flour and salt.
He'll see one ingredient and then make a judgment.
He's not even near the rolling pin.
I still like you, though, Bean.
Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Solid. Also, keep an eye out for Kong, won't you? Kong has been stolen.
Kong?
Kong. In Corpus Christi, Kong has been stolen. He is he's a giant black inflatable gorilla wearing white sunglasses, red shorts, and holding a yellow car over his head. He was the mascot of Corpus Christi Fiat in Texas, and someone has stolen Kong. So I just want to give a heads up to our Texas affiliates in case anyone sees Kong, the inflatable gorilla. There's a big manhunt in Corpus Christi today looking for Kong. They're very upset about the theft of Kong.
I don't think we're on in Texas anywhere.
Wow, I just wasted so much time.
Yeah, you did.
Hey, by the way, as an aside, because I make a lot of meaningful contributions to the
program. Has anyone stolen Kong?
No, my...
What's going on in Texas? Anything?
No, this is a serious question. Allie, did they ever find Tom Brady's jersey?
They have not.
Which was also stolen in Texas.
However, they have bumped it up to over $500,000 because that makes it a felony in the state of Texas. So this might be punishable by, I think, upwards of 5 years.
You're going to get a posse.
Well, that's something. Yeah.
However,
what are you in here for?
I will say this.
I stole
jersey theft.
Tom Brady's jersey. If you happen to follow Tom Brady on Facebook, he has a chart of who he thinks might have stolen it, which includes everyone from Edelman to his dog to the picture of him, the court drawing from Deflategate, and he goes through each person. It is really funny.
Oh, Tom's hilarious.
I can't accept your scorn.
He's like a young Marlon Wayans. That's how funny he is.
That is hurtful.
Yep.
Oh, I'm glad Dave the Yuck Guy finally
here.
Appropriate.
You're the worst.
Yep.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Why do some people tune out?
Edward James Olmos celebrates his 70th birthday today. What an actor.
Yeah,
Stand and Deliver, Battlestar Galactica, Zoot Suit.
Miami Vice.
Of course.
Come on now.
What was his name on Miami Vice, Kevin? Quick. What was his name? Was Lieutenant Judd? Captain?
Lieutenant Judd?
Judd? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, is that because Pete Holmes was just talking about?
It's possible.
Judd Apatow.
It's very possible. I don't know.
No.
No. Escada? No.
What was his name?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Hey, Rico. Let's go talk to.
What's happening?
Gomez.
Why do some people tune out?
Senor Grande.
No, it wasn't Senor Grande. Come on, famous Miami Vice. We all watched it,
right?
Yeah, Tubbs. And Crockett,
and
their boss was
the boss.
Escovedo. Steve. It might have been Steve. Too bad there aren't 14 computers in this room, and no one's bothering to look it up.
Martin Castillo.
Castillo. That's it.
We're bad.
Kristen Davis is 52 years old today. She was on Sex and the City, right? That Kristen Davis.
She was. She was Charlotte.
She's lovely.
Delightful.
Billy Zane.
Melrose Place too, I think.
Yeah, Melrose Place.
Billy Zane is 51.
Yeah.
Matt Skiba is 41.
Him too.
What's wrong with you? Mayweather Jr. is 40. Earl Sweatshirt is 23 years old today.
Odd Future.
And O'Shea Jackson Jr. is 26. Let's hear it for O.J. Jackson Jr. Or some call.
Or O.J.
O.J. Jackson. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in about 5 minutes from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to give you tickets to see AFI this Monday afternoon in the brand new HD radio sound space here at K-Rock and qualify you to see the band in Glasgow, Scotland. So that is coming up on K-Rock. This Sunday night is the Academy Awards, you guys. What's your level of interest in seeing the show, Kevin? You're a big movie fan. You've seen most of these movies that have the major nominations this year.
It's not high. It's usually a super boring show for me.
Yeah, it's a long evening, isn't
it? It's a long, long evening. There are a lot of people that thank a lot of people that I don't know, and I'm sure that it's, you know, Ralph says it's for the industry, and I believe him. It's not really for TV, but I am excited to see Jimmy Kimmel.
I am too. I think Jimmy's going to make it a lot of fun. A lot of people are going to be very happy when City of Stars wins the Best Picture. Ally McKay is not one of them.
What?
City of Stars.
What City of Stars?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the song.
Is it? Because I don't even remember the song.
City of Stars, are you shining just for me? That one? That's a great song. That's a great song that Ryan Gosling sings in the movie.
See, what I'm saying is it's not memorable.
Sing some more of it.
I'm not going to sing any more of it. La La Land is nominated for 14. 13 Oscar nominations, which is crazy. That doesn't happen very often. The last time it did so was for Titanic. But there's a minority, but a vocal minority that is trying to poo-poo all over the rest of us who loved that movie. And Ally McKay is the leader of that minority.
She's
the leader? You really are.
Why can't
we have nice things, Ally?
You can't. Here's the thing. This is my opinion. It just became a thing because all of you were like, you're so wrong about that. It was so wonderful. It gave me life. No, it didn't. It's a movie with subpar singing, subpar dancing. It's soulless. It's just, it's fine. It's fine. It's beautifully shot. There are some scenes that you go, wow, that is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Chemistry between Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. Delightful.
Okay. You're naming a lot of really good things about this movie. It doesn't sound like you liked very much.
It was fine.
She's not saying it's bad. She's saying
no,
it's overrated.
It was fine.
So do you think, which of its major nominations do you think it doesn't deserve? You don't think it should even be in the Best Picture category?
No, not when there's a Hidden Figures and not when there's a Moonlight.
Well, both of those are in there, aren't they?
Yes.
They are.
Okay.
Yes, it's not keeping them
so
out.
So it could lose.
How did you feel, let's go around the room. How did you feel, Ally, coming out of La La Land? Before all the hype, before all the Oscar, you know, nominations and everything like that, just as a movie, the movie-going experience of the day that you went and put your money down and saw La La Land, how did you feel coming out?
I definitely didn't feel like I was cheated out of my, you know, $14, but I just thought...
But it wasn't worth $14.50?
No. I'm glad I didn't get popcorn. I just thought, that just happened in there.
Did you have expectations that it would be great going in and therefore you were disappointed?
I did a lot of musical theater through my youth and through college. So I was really...
So this is a professional looking at
it.
No,
not even. Not even. I just wanted... I love musicals. I love those old timey... I love that.
Right.
I love Singing in the Rain. I thought it would be more of that, but
Ryan Gosling is not going to be Gene Kelly.
No.
And he's not going to be Fred Astaire.
No.
But he is going to be Ryan Gosling, a 21st century guy who does a pretty credible job of singing and dancing in this movie.
It was pretty credible, yeah.
Like Ally, I grew up in musical theater.
Did you? Okay.
No, not at all. And I don't think I would have seen this movie on my own.
Sure.
But, you know, movie club. So I watched it, and I was amazed by it.
Really?
Yeah, I was really shocked that I liked it a lot, that I loved it. I was really shocked.
What did you love about it?
I just thought it was really well done, well acted. The songs were good. Mm-hmm. Well, what was not to love about it?
Were the songs really good?
Yeah.
Okay.
City of Stars. Do, 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 do.
See, that's all you know is the title, because there was nothing catchy about it. There was nothing...
I'm terrible
at remembering
lyrics.
I don't feel like Bean is doing justice to
the song. I think he's actually nailing it.
Now, some of the other haters who don't want other people to enjoy
things... I didn't hate it.
You're just saying it was overrated.
...have suggested that the plot line for them was a little thin. And I've heard you make that complaint before, that nothing kind of really happens in the movie. It's just kind of a snapshot of a period in time and these two young people, these young professionals trying to make.
The middle of the movie kind of took too long. To me, it just felt very, I don't even know if I could say it, but self...
Self-congratulatory?
Self-congratulatory for Hollywood.
Hey, Ralph
which,
Garman, you're the movie. You're the movie
and
guy.
Oscar
help us out.
Voters
here.
Loved it. Like, it's about us. It's about our plight trying to be a star.
It is. It's a love letter to the people who try to make it in entertainment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which entertainment loves self-reflection.
But so do the people, though. This is a huge box office hit, not just in America, but around the world.
It was a two-hour Target commercial, which is what Cat Corbett said yesterday. And I was like, you just nailed it. It was a two-hour Target ad, just dancing around. Woohoo! With a cart.
How about the scene where they're in the air in the observatory?
Oh, yeah, they flew in the Griffith Observatory.
That was beautiful.
I think either you're going to be on board with the whimsy of this film or you're not, I think. And if you're not, if you look at it cynically, then yeah, I think it's going to be a disappointment. But I think a lot of people are living in a time where they feel sort of depressed and oppressed by a lot of the news of the day and things like that. So there seems to be a certain catharsis that comes with a movie that is sort of airy and light like this one. That's
escapism,
why a lot of people are reacting
escapism
to it.
Feels good.
Sure,
sometimes.
Absolutely. Maybe I'm a little deeper than that.
That's what it is. We didn't factor in your depth.
My depth.
All right, let me.
As you watch The Holiday, we didn't realize.
Great movie.
Ralph, didn't realize how deep you were.
Thank
like those
you.
Foreign films you like
Thank
The Holiday.
You. All right, thank you.
Ralph,
they
let me ask you a question.
Homes.
Let me ask you a question. If our real lives didn't seem to be in so much turmoil, would this still have been considered a great movie?
I mean, it's done well at the box office. People are responding to it, I think, because of the climate that we're in. But I think Hollywood would always love it because, as Ali mentioned, it is very sort of self-congratulatory. And it also speaks to a genre that hasn't really been done much lately, but a lot of people love very much, which is the old Hollywood musical. And so because it's a love letter to that genre, which really you don't see anymore, I think it makes it stand out. It's even more of sort of a novelty.
I did think that took balls. I mean, because they went full on.
Yeah.
Yeah, they committed. I mean, to see an original musical, original film musical
and
now
I applaud that.
Is almost unheard of.
And I applaud that it actually got made.
Your applause is like...
It's golf clap. Yeah, it's a golf clap. You're
I
not applauding.
I felt it could have been a little better and
is
a little
this backlash
and...
because so many people reacted to it so strongly? Are you reacting to that reaction?
I actually,
or are you reacting to the film?
I rewatched it yesterday because I thought, was I in a bad mood when I saw it? So I saw it on the big screen and then I saw it in my home yesterday.
Well, you were in a good mood yesterday.
Very good point.
Yeah, maybe yesterday
Very
shouldn't have been
point.
The day.
You know what? Yeah. Shoot.
Yeah.
Well, look,
I ripped up that DVD just right over my knee.
Here's what I'm saying, is that Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone are beautiful, charming, lovely people.
Lovely.
Or at least the characters certainly in this movie are. And I was just happy for them to, you know, just to see them go through their journey.
But that sounds like it's just a fine film. That's lovely.
It is fine.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Bean, you're describing a film that really maybe shouldn't be considered an Oscar sweeper.
Yeah, I've
14
look,
noms.
Yeah.
There are people who are going to say if this movie wins over Moonlight, which people adore, or Manchester by the Sea, which people adore, then they're going to be real
figures.
Disappointed.
Hidden Figures is so great.
Another one.
Fences, which also
fences,
I like a lot.
Another one.
Where they couldn't find those fences.
I just say don't listen to the bad lady. If you haven't seen La La Land, go see it and enjoy it. That's what I say.
All right. Bean's all about love and joy.
Thank you.
And light and happiness.
Yes, exactly.
He likes to shine his light on all you who live in the darkness.
Congratulations, Alex Bradley from Canoga Park. Just won tickets to see AFI at the new HD Radio Sound Space at K-Rock. This is watch the webcast of AFI at krock.com or stream it at K-Rock HD2. This starts Monday at 5 p.m. HD Radio offers better sound quality, more stations, K-Rock HD2 and Rock of the 80s. There's no subscription fee, so it's a pretty cool thing. And keep listening for your chance to win tickets to see AFI. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 922. LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Ralph Garman, you ready to land this plane? Bring us our final showbiz beat of the week.
Sure. Let's Everyone, please buckle your seatbelts.
I think he meant it figuratively.
Tray tables in an upright position and put your head between your legs. Oh. Assume the crash positions because we're going down.
So it's going to be a bumpy landing.
It is.
Friday, the last showbiz beat of the week is always a bumpy
Rarely, lady. Rarely polished, rarely sharp. That much we know. Here's some interesting news. USA Network has announced a new series called Unsolved about the murder investigations of Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls.
Oh.
Yeah. Why so soon?
Well, I think maybe they... I don't know.
Okay.
Josh Duhamel is going to be one of the detectives. Jimmy Simpson from Westworld and Bokeem Woodbine from Fargo will all star as the LAPD detectives involved in the case. And so far, the roles of Tupac and Biggie have not been cast, but I wouldn't think you really need them in this particular case, would you? Except for maybe like a chalk outline or some tape. I mean, if it's about their murders, I don't think they're not going to be a big role, I think, in the series, unless it's flashbacks about their beefs, yo. Right? With the down with all the beefing.
I've got a suggestion.
Word to your mama.
I've got a suggestion for somebody to play Biggie.
Oh, great.
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
Allie McKay.
Ah.
I'd nail it.
She would.
Same.
YouTube.
That was the shortest story you've ever done.
He's not wrong.
YouTube is going through some changes these days. You know, they got a lot of issues. They got PewDiePie. He's got issues.
Yes.
Now they're becoming the victim of political correctness to the nth degree, I think.
Uh-oh.
The Animal Adventure Park in New York was live streaming on YouTube the birth of a giraffe. A video of a 15-year-old giraffe named April having a baby. Okay. Was shut down by animal activists for being sexually explicit. Because you saw April's vagina.
But
they thought that shouldn't be on the YouTube channel. It was to say it was raunchy,
but
raunchy content and nudity.
So birth is too graphic for some people.
Apparently.
And not human birth.
No.
Giraffe.
Giraffe birth. By the way, I saw them at the troop. They were terrific, yeah. So YouTube had to shut it down because of the complaints.
But they didn't have to shut it down. This could have been an instance where YouTube could have said, you're an idiot. If you don't like it, don't watch it.
That's the problem today, is not the people who complain. It's the people who listen to the complainers.
Yeah.
You could say, look, okay, you're offended. We're sorry for you. Don't watch it. But we're going to go on with our program.
Oh, yeah. You silly, silly man.
I'm just saying.
It's educational, and it's real life, and it's fine, and you'll live. You'll survive.
Plus, giraffe vaginas are hot.
Well,
right?
I don't think that.
I mean, that's why we really tuned in. That's why we wanted to see it.
I don't think that's the point. No.
Oh, please don't. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I mean.
Put your hands away.
You want to get in there.
No, we got it. You getting in there.
Yeah, I like tall. Like I'm tall.
Long legs.
Yeah. Wow.
Hate it here.
Long, graceful necks.
It's just eating leaves.
That's all. Vegans, that's my kind right there.
Oh, dear
like
Lord.
The ballerinas of the animal world. They got it all.
And we are now in a crash landing position.
You ever see a giraffe's tongue? You ever see a giraffe's tongue?
I have fed a giraffe with food in my mouth.
Yes. Wow.
Yes.
I thought I had a thing for giraffes. I've never taken it that far.
And the giraffe tongue is
sandpaper.
Like sandpaper.
Yeah.
But rough, it's rough. About 14 inches
and
long.
And it's about a foot and a half long.
It's
yeah.
black and it's 14 inches yes, long.
It is.
Giraffes have everything. That's all I'm
They're
saying.
The perfect animal when you describe them like
that. Perfect date for a hot Friday night.
I don't think anyone's saying date.
Oh, well, I'm trying to be polite, you know. Not
so you must have
say,
been you must have been very disappointed when YouTube shut down that channel. Then
I was left hanging,
right?
Right? Who's with me?
Come on, give me 10 minutes more.
Why were you feeding a giraffe with your mouth? By the way, were hands out of bounds? Did they say you couldn't use your hands?
No, it was one of those things where
another one of your dumb things, like carve an initial in an apple with a chainsaw onto my mouth. Is another of your dumb dares?
No, we were lucky enough to be able to take a safari, which was the dream of my lifetime. So we were in Kenya, and there was a place where you could feed the giraffes
with your
mouth. And the person said, if you put the food in your mouth, they'll take it out. And my kids looked at me and said, "Go do it." So I did it.
So if you had put the food in your hands, they wouldn't have taken it?
They would have, but that just wasn't an option at the point.
Why was it better, I mean, feeding him with your mouth?
I don't
that
know.
That wasn't an option.
It wasn't. They just said, does anybody want to put it in their mouth?
Of course I answered.
Yes.
Why wouldn't I?
You know how many times your kids must have clowned you throughout the years? Wow, Ralph is falling apart. Ralph is unable to come back from this.
I think I have a picture of that somewhere.
Please, make it into a t-shirt I can wear it forever.
And the giraffe is like 14 feet away from me, and yet his tongue is all over my face. Back to you.
Oh,
I'm sorry about that.
You are unique. Individual. You're special.
At that point, I thought my kids would love this. I would do anything for them.
Right.
It was not a pleasant experience.
Okay.
Were they laughing with you?
I'm not positive.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthday. It's not going to get any better than that, so I'm just going to quit while we're ahead.
Come on now.
Edward James Olmos is 70 years old today. Kristen Davis celebrates her 52nd birthday. Billy Zane, the Golden Colonel. He is 51. Matt Skiba, 41 years old today, from Blink, of course. Floyd Mayweather Jr. is 40. Earl Sweatshirt turns 23. And O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Let's hear it for O'Shea Jackson Jr.
He's 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Figure out the SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon, Friday afternoon, 5 p.m. with a commercial-free drive home. A complete hour commercial-free. Thanks to them. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This was a success.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
If you really suck at something, you probably shouldn't do it.
Roll another one.
Terrible human being.
Just like the other one.
God damn them to hell.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Catch me on fire, how about that?
And I need another hit.
So I'm going to need Kevin to step it up and stop being so dumb, so it's more believable and doesn't sound so fake. So can you be better and less of whatever it is that you are?
No.
Roll another one.
You're the man after my own heart.
Just like the other one.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
This one seems to be about.
Now hiring both locations.
I don't have another cent.
You love Bean's nipple?
Not my favorite, but I'll allow it.
But the bogart that joint.
It's one of the best things I've had in my mouth.
Whoa. Just pass it around.
She's insane.
But the bogart that joint, my friend.
Charbroil.
I want to thank everybody very much. It's a great honor to be with you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The mic has been dropped.
Get out of my face. Get out of my face!
Whoa, that's okay. This is a workplace, okay? We don't talk like that here. You should get on home with that kind of talk. Because this, I don't know what this is, but it's wrong.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Excuse me, I just remembered I have to leave early. I have a thing at the place.
This was a success.